our profession.
3 o'clock, middle of the afternoon. Gary Meyer on the Gear Force. Leslie's here. Got the opening, and then Tom Skilling. At 5 o'clock, Eric Childress will review that new ape movie. Those filthy apes are back, and he'll have what his thoughts are on that. Leslie, hello.
Hello, Gary. The Democrat running for governor of Texas is calling on President Obama to visit the Texas border to see firsthand the crisis of thousands of young immigrants entering the U.S. That makes Wendy Davis the most high-profile Texas Dem to urge the president to make the trip. America's top intelligence officer in Germany has been asked to leave the country amid allegations of espionage. In the last week, two German intelligence operatives have been investigated for passing classified documents to American agents. The CIA and the White House are not commenting. A 28-year-old Chicago man's been charged in two hammer attacks near Navy Pier. Jawan Westbrook is charged with aggravated battery, use of a deadly weapon after striking two women in the face with a hammer as they walked on the bike path near Lakeshore Drive and Illinois Street. And a barge belonging to the company reconstructing the Riverwalk has sunk in the river near LaSalle Street. The 50-by-20-foot vessel is now completely submerged. Luckily, no one was on board when it went down.
That's that area that I talked about a few months ago now where they have shut down the right lane on Lower Wacker. Actually,
right.
we both talked about it because we were trying to figure out how long that lane
is
going to be shut down because they don't work on that lane. They use it to park their trucks to work
on something
on the Riverwalk,
right.
And that's where that barge was. Hey, I told them, finish it up. Now you got the bad juju. Sorry.
And they finally opened up the bridge that was closed.
Michigan Avenue Bridge.
Another one, yeah.
Yeah, they
underneath
were
there.
Closing that during the day
yeah.
for whatever reason. I don't know.
Well, it looks like they're finally done.
Well, it was open today, but it was closed yesterday.
Will that barge sinking now elongate when the right lane will get opened up?
Probably. They're bringing in a salvage company from out of state to somehow float this thing back up and tow it out of there.
Okay.
Nothing easy in the city.
No. Always complicated.
Also, did you hear there's a Chinese company has come up with plans for a new high-rise hotel just east of us here?
East of us here being the Tribune Tower, where would that be?
I think where they were originally going to do that spire. In that area.
And it will be the third tallest in Chicago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Get back to me when it's going up because I have my plans for my pizzeria at the Spire, and that all went up in smoke.
And the plan is that it should be built within the next year or so, which is why
it caught my attention. Of course, when you said Chinese, I thought, well, why doubt them? They'll have a bunch of guys in there. They'll get it up in a few weeks.
In a couple of days.
They'll send 2 billion people over here and get it done.
Suddenly there's a building where it wasn't there a week ago. This is the Super G.
You calling my father a monster? What am I supposed to do?
If you don't have public support, you have to quit.
I must be slipping. I gotta exercise.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
No. In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Finland and Joliet. A well-known American Indian artist had a rifle pointed at his head.
What?
By New Mexico police.
What?
As he cleaned dog poop out of his car.
Seriously?
What?
What?
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Maria Marcus reported a burglary in progress at her Santa Fe home because Mateo Romero pulled into Maria's driveway after his Shih Tzu took a Shih Tzu in his car.
Oh, dear.
Maria boxed Mateo in her driveway. Mateo tried to explain he was just cleaning out dog poop.
And 50 other lines to get into a girl's pants.
Police arrived and pointed a gun. Mateo was released when everyone realized what happened.
You don't think this can happen to you?
Hey, what's in the bag?
Dog poop.
Step away from the crap.
Well, let's move on. Let's groove on.
A decorative poster that would supposedly make a great addition to your home or office was pulled from Walmart's online listings.
Hmm.
The poster featured the front gate of the Nazi concentration camp, Dachau.
Oops.
With the slogan, work makes you free. Why stop there? How about a poster with a picture of a prisoner being lethally injected with the slogan, "Tired of the man sticking it to you"?
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Gary Meyer on the Care Force, WGN.FM, Chicago, the Super G. Tom Skilling on board.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, Tom.
Good to be part of the Gare Force today.
And I'll make beautiful you a co-pilot any day you want.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. What a beautiful day.
Hey, we have a stack of them, I think, in a row here.
Yeah.
Coming up and in the past.
First time we've put 2 days together. It hasn't rained in 4 weeks, Gary. And that's how much rain we've had around here. But, yeah, it's very nice. Coolest July open in 5 years and the third wettest summer on the books in 143 years. And yet we've snuck a day like this in here and one like yesterday. Much of tomorrow looks good, too.
I got a number of texts at 312-521-8600 about yesterday's show. And not that your presence around that song with all the not salty, the...
Yes.
Spicy language.
Spicy.
Uh-huh. The sporty
yes.
language.
Yes.
Spicy, sporty, salty, all of your... Whatever that group was. What was that group?
Which one?
In England, the girls. Spidey, Sporcy.
Spice Girls.
Sporcy.
Spice
Girls.
Oh,
Slutty.
Sporty Spice.
Slutty, Stupid.
Yeah, Mel B from American.
Spice Girls.
Yeah, the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
And what was the consensus of this, Gary? Did we err in doing this, or did folks...
No, the whole podcast was not up for some reason, and then I checked in because when I went to the text... A number that said, "Where's the podcast from yesterday?" Which includes this song that you alerted me to.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the person who does the podcast didn't get the proper signal to put the podcast on. And that's why it's not on yet. But I've been told that it will be on soon. That's all I can tell you. There's no censorship or anything, because I'm sure some people thought, wow, that
well,
song.
Maybe it's better it doesn't see the light of day. I don't know.
Had all the F-bombs and S-bombs.
Yeah. Yes.
But in the way it was presented, it was beautiful.
Yes.
And you get
the video that goes with that? It's like something out of the movie, Frozen?
Frozen.
Yeah. And you have this lovely Disney-like character singing this stuff. It just struck me as... funny.
But it is funny.
Yeah.
And it will be, at least the audio portion, will be on that podcast that will be posted not too long from now.
Yeah.
And this story, and you might have already seen something like this, Earth's gravitational pull is so powerful that it creates a small bulge on the surface of the moon. For the first time, scientists have observed this bump from orbit using satellites. The gravitational tug of war between Earth and the moon is enough to stretch both celestial bodies.
Interesting.
So they each end up having a slight oval shape with the tapered ends facing each other.
Yeah.
On Earth, this gravitational tension shows up in the form of tides.
Yeah, it does, right? Every 6 hours, the tides shift.
That is pretty bizarro stuff, isn't it?
It's pretty amazing. Well, you know, every object in the universe exerts a gravitational pull on another object. And it's all relative to, it's driven by the size of the object that's involved. Well, we're a pretty good-sized sphere here, this planet we're on. And so it's not surprising it would produce that sort of effect on the moon. I had not seen that, though, Gary. That's news to me.
The moon's pull has a strong effect on Earth's oceans because water has so much freedom of movement. The corresponding distorting effect on the moon, called the lunar body tide, is more difficult to see because the moon is solid except for a molten core.
Sure. But
Earth's pull raises a small bulge about 20 inches. Hey, is the moon just happy to see us from the surface of the near side of the moon and a matching bulge on the far side?
Yeah. I guess so, huh?
That's why that smile face is on the moon.
Right.
Hey, look at me. I got a bulge about 20 inches right now.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the moon last night? It was really amazing.
I did. It wasn't full, though, right?
And no.
I'm not going to ask you when the full moon is because that is not...
Yeah.
Your Congress, your jurisdiction.
You would think by now that I would have that list right
although
here.
Although it is on your
so
weather
I wouldn't
page.
Be embarrassed. Yes, I know. That element, we program in ahead of time and then get busy with the atmosphere. You know, I tell everybody, and we deal with the first 10 miles, and then pretty much the astronomers take over after that. So that's the way I get off the hook on these things. But it's funny, I have an intern who was in the military. In fact, he served over in Afghanistan. And he was telling me when he was briefing the generals and all, whenever anything scientifically oriented happened, be it an earthquake or some question about some astronomical question, he would get those too. And he said he had to tell the generals, you know, I don't deal with the astronomical issues and all. So apparently other forecasters go through the same thing.
Well, a plumber doesn't work on his own plumbing. You
no.
don't need to read your weather page.
That's
true. You put it together or somebody did and it's there.
Well, and you don't go to a dentist for open heart surgery, you know? I mean, we...
Oh,
we,
you had that ready to go.
We kind of... Yeah, no, seriously, you know,
I'm not an astronomer, damn it.
Please, you know, I've got enough to do with the first 10 miles of this thing we call, you know, air.
It's Saturday. The full moon is Saturday.
Gotcha. It was beautiful last night. I was leaving here with, we had filed the blog with Jennifer Koepke, who listens, by the way, regularly to our program here, and came in and gave me a seal of approval yesterday. I said, Jennifer, do you think we should have played that thing yesterday?
That salty, sporty
yeah,
song?
Yeah, that salty.
That slutty song?
Which, by the way, we've all laughed, and Jim Ramsey and I were sitting here. We had an hour laugh out of that, and Jennifer loves the thing, too, so she passed on it and said it's just fine. But anyway, we were leaving here last night, and
what time did you get out of it last night?
Oh, brother, it was, I think, about 12:30, 12:45. I had my intern's parents came in, and it was quite interesting. I enjoyed talking with them, but I got a little behind because of that.
Oh, you do, because you've been losing weight.
Well,
yeah, I think it looks hot.
Oh, I tell you, I've kind of fallen off the wagon on occasion here, Gary, but I got to get back to it again. It's just been such a busy period.
So you get there at about 8:30 in the morning.
Well, I started home at about 8:30 in the morning.
But what time do you physically get to Channel 9?
Probably about 11:25.
And then you're rolling out of there at 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's a pretty busy
day. If anybody says this man is overpaid,
well...
Break it down hourly. He's making $3 an hour.
It's a busy day. I always get a kick when people say, "Oh, what do you guys do? Do you put your feet up, or you leave and go have dinner somewhere?" And you know, you feel like saying, "Oh yeah. I go out to Shea Paul, for an
Shea
extended
Paul,
dinner."
Look at you.
And
that's not even around anymore.
No, I know. You know, it used to be that was a great restaurant.
Yeah, it was, and that's where they did that scene in the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time I walk by the building. Which is at,
that's true. I'd forgotten
what is,
about
it's
that.
It's at Rush and...
Yeah.
What's the cross street, I think?
I don't know, but you're street? In the... I know what you're saying, and I can't tell
superior?
You what it is either.
No,
but
it's not Superior.
Do you know that...
It's one of the Great Lakes.
The mayor of that restaurant lived in my building, so I used to see him quite regularly, and so I had quite a connection with that restaurant that way.
If you remember, Pee Wee Herman was the...
Was the waiter.
The waiter
yeah.
in the movie at Shea Paul.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that. Pee Wee Herman was, huh?
Look at it again.
Yeah, I've got to check that out.
Tell me if this show has influence. Last night I'm watching Channel 9, 9:15. They go to Tom. He swings around and he talks and I can hear him.
Yeah. Now they're doing that more these
days. We talked about that yesterday where you... Before that, you swung around.
Yeah.
The mic's not on. You're doing a wave.
No, I'm
you
just
want
told
to say
to
something. Yesterday, boom. He swings around. Microphone is on. He's talking.
Gary, they're afraid. You know me. If they get me talking, they might not be able to shut me up. So they probably figure it's better just to have him wave, and that way he won't run over.
This town is intoxicated with weather. There's no way you can go wrong talking about weather.
Well,
we just love our weather.
We've been doing more of these talking teases of late. So maybe somebody's listening to you, Gary.
Because you're Tom freaking Skilling, as you would say.
Right.
That was good
you
to see.
You think people are hanging? You know, it's funny. The people who come up to me in the street and said, you know when you wave on the bump? My kids wave back to you and all. So I picture all these people waving back. I hadn't even thought of that. But
you can imagine what people are doing when they're watching television.
Probably throwing a brick at the monitor.
No, Tom, maybe, but I don't think so.
But anyway,
it's not like Elvis is sitting out there. Hey, man, where he would shoot the TV screen when Robert Goulet came on.
Remember Robert Goulet? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every week on Trash Day, there'd be about six televisions out by the curb with a big hole in the screen.
Isn't that interesting? Remember him in, what was the movie about the psychiatrist who was catering to the mob and all the rest? Billy Crystal.
Analyze this.
And when a fellow mobster called the guy and he... You know, he got mad at what he was saying, and so shot the TV set out. And
oh, that was an homage to Elvis.
Yeah.
Is that what
he
was? Used to do.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, did you see that we had Paul McCartney on? We had a clip out of the United Center. Where was he? The
United Center.
Yeah. We had a clip last night. He looks great.
I'm going to have a friend of mine who went to the concert review it at around 4 o'clock.
That will be interesting. I wonder how that went. He sounded great from the little clip we saw.
All right. So, and 72 years old, still out there.
Isn't that something? Wow.
Making the money.
Yep.
Which he,
imagine us apparently singing at age 72 at the United Center.
And singing with the tone that that guy had.
I know.
Because those songs that he sang, his voice had a pretty high register.
Nice.
He could hit a lot of those high notes, and apparently he's still hitting them. I'll find out. I don't know. I wasn't there, but
I can't get over the fact that somebody like him or a Sting or any of these groups, they have to come up with original material, and every one of them has got to be a hit. Although Sting supposedly recently said that the reason he decided to do this Last Ship production is because they weren't playing his songs on the radio anymore. And I didn't know, is that true? I don't know.
Who would play a Sting song? Think about it.
Not a new one.
Not a new one. You're going to hear the Police on those oldie stations.
Right, right.
But no new Sting.
Can you imagine the pressure on those guys, though? I mean, how would you sleep at night? No wonder Michael Jackson had trouble going to bed at night, sleeping at night, because the pressure on you to produce something that's a mega hit after you've hit the lofty heights these folks have.
Well, I don't know why there'd be
something.
If you have all that in the bank, why is there pressure? You had a run. And just enjoy that.
Well, don't you think somebody like that is kind of personally driven anyway?
Well, they are.
That's why they do have money in the bank, because they...
They are, and you're right. I don't know about Sting, if he's putting out any new albums by himself.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, but...
It's been a while.
McCartney is one where he's got to do something. He's got to get an album out there.
Sure.
And he will do one about every 2 or 3 years. And he did a cover of Standards albums like Rod Stewart has done. And Rod Stewart has made a good amount of money doing that, but I just cringed when I heard that.
I know.
Love
it doesn't
song.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. I love you. You love me. Ding. I just hate. Again, Stewart somehow made it happen, and he was a rocker.
He was.
But he managed to make that transition. He goes to Vegas and
sure, does
loads
the classics
up these places.
And, yeah.
But it just seems like Paul saw Rod Stewart do it and went, ding, I got to get in on that action. And he did that Valentine song.
Really?
Yeah. I love you, you love me, roses are red.
Right.
Wee. I don't know. But you don't have to prove anything else.
No, that's true.
Maybe, I hate when you don't have a moment where you just go, I've done it. I'm just going to enjoy. Yeah. I've written more hit songs than many people combined, but they still...
Gary, I don't think you can have the kind of personality that leads to that kind of stardom and that production of incredible material that where you just turn it off at some point and say, hey, I've got money in the bank and that's it. Whatever has driven them and propelled them to the heights they've seen has got to still be there and ringing in their heads.
I get it, but the albums that come out, they aren't at that level.
No.
And they just see their sales go down every time they put out one of these albums. Ringo puts out an album every 18 months.
Ringo does.
And it sounds like the same album every time. I'm sorry.
I didn't even know he was putting them out.
Yeah, so he is.
That shows that we're all clamoring to get a hold of the latest one, I guess.
And God bless them and everything, but if their intent is to sell, which I assume it is,
right,
how do you see that and keep going with the albums?
Well, how do you get a record company to back
well,
you?
Well, a lot of them are smaller companies than they were on in the heyday, of course.
Gotcha.
Some of them probably put out on their own. You don't really need a record company in a lot of
That's
cases.
True.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the interesting thing looking at this Motown play was when Berry Gordy, they make it clear that these bigger companies came out after a lot of the artists that he had established on his label. And so they would go to these big label companies and leave him. And, I hadn't realized that was the case. But, it's not surprising, really, given the megastars that he created.
312-521-8600. Charlie is on the blower. Charlie, what up, bro?
Hey, Gary. How's it going today? How's Tom?
Good, Charlie.
Tom, how are you? Hey. Good?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I was driving in today and was thinking, boy, this would be a day not to go into work. It's gorgeous out there.
You almost didn't you, Tom?
You guys were talking about the moon and the Earth,
yeah,
gravitational pull between each other.
Yeah.
I was watching one of the science shows. I forget what channel it was. And they had said that the moon is pulling away from the Earth at the amount of 6 inches a year.
Interesting.
Six inches a year.
Okay.
So I know, starting when?
In our lifetime, that'll be, what, 3 feet or something
right.
like that?
Right. Yeah, right.
I'm just thinking over millions or maybe a billion years, the Earth won't be the way it is now, because if the moon's that far away, that'll rearrange the tides or maybe the rotation of the Earth itself, so a day won't be 24 hours.
Well, not only that, it is true. There are what we call Milankovitch cycles, which is a change in the tilt of the Earth relative to the sun and also the shape of the orbit. And that's driven the major ice ages over time, and that goes on the scale of tens of thousands of years. Our orbit becomes less circular. It's never totally circular, but it becomes more and more oval with time, and that puts us farther away from the sun at times. And then at the same time, we wobble on our axis like a top does when you see it spinning. So when you marry the change in the shape of the orbit with the change in the tilt of it, that's how we get these long-term ice ages that develop. And so you're absolutely, and on top of that, add in continental drift. You know, the continents are not staying there. We pull away from Europe at, I think, about 2 to 3 centimeters a year. And there's a split right down the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Iceland sits on it. That's why they have all that geothermal heat and those volcanoes up there. But
if we're drifting westward, maybe in a billion or 2 years, we'll
go to Japan.
Coastline of the Philippine Islands,
right.
Japan, right?
Sure, that's right. Think of all the container ships we can do away with. You know?
Could take a ferry from California to Japan.
Yeah, right.
20-minute ferry ride, maybe.
That's it, yeah. Of course, we have to. The downside of this, Gary, is that we're all going to be ashes by then, you know.
Oh,
but
that's a nice thought on a Thursday.
It certainly is.
6 inches a year, we're pulling away from the moon. Is that what you said, Charlie?
6 inches a year, Gary.
Okay. Wow. And one person leaves Illinois every 10 minutes permanently. So those are the only things you need to know.
I see.
Yes, there must be a mathematical equation between those two, right?
Two people have moved out since I started this show.
Wow.
It's gone.
I miss
forever.
Them already. I don't know about you, Gary.
Yeah, it's a little crowded around here, so, hey, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, gentlemen, have a good day.
You too.
You bet, Charlie.
And I wanted to bring this up because I'm not surprised that I'm getting, and by me, I mean everybody's probably getting some kind of Christmas feeler already. But I'm not really surprised about that as much as how these people got my name and address.
Because, it is true, isn't it?
And here's why I'm saying that.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the Ashton Drake Galleries out of Niles. Okay, now that I see it's Niles, I never noticed that before. Maybe they heard me talking about this, because as far as my Thomas Kincaid investment, I buy a calendar after the Christmas holiday because it's half price.
Yes.
So I'm not that dumb. I go and wait 2 days after Christmas. It's half price. So
you get the 2004 one right now.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter because I don't care about
that's one of my
the calendar. I like the pictures. I know he's schlocky and all that, but there's something about his photo, his paintings that make me feel good.
Well,
crucify me.
That's good. No, that's what art is supposed to do.
So it says here, dear friend, imagine you probably have a list of things that mean the holidays to you. This just came in the mail this week.
Gee.
Things like mistletoe, freshly carved turkey, carolers on the front porch, maybe even the first time you hear Sleigh Ride played over the intercom.
Gary, come on. You mean to tell me your mind doesn't drift to those things in July?
Yeah.
I mean, mine certainly does.
Yeah.
Right?
Now there are three things that mean the holidays to me. The first big snowfall, the crinkle of sleigh bells in the crisp winter air, and a house filled with the warm light of love. So with the help of the brilliant artwork of Thomas Kincaid, painter of light, we've put these holiday symbols together to bring you the Thomas Kincaid Sleigh Bells Ornament Collection.
Wow.
This Ashton Drake exclusive collection is now yours to enjoy through this special offer. Okay, I pay for the calendar in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, because I'm getting a lot of Thomas Kincaid mailers now, how do they know that I've even remotely bought a Thomas Kincaid product?
I don't know.
Is that on Milwaukee Avenue?
It's on North Maryland.
Oh, because there is a Franklin Mint.
I've been there.
In Niles.
Right.
They do the Kincaid stuff.
For the Channel 9 morning show there. So yeah. I've been in there, and I saw all the plates.
So I thought maybe that was where...
Maybe there's a... You know how they have certain streets, Cicero Avenue or whatever, 159th and Tinley Park now is Automobile Row, Maybe there's...
I bet you that is right
there's
there.
There's plate row.
I bet you there's
and
an
that's
area
what
right there.
This is, or decorative row.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a lot of Thomas Kincaid stuff since I've been buying these calendars, but I pay in cash. I understand if I paid with a credit card, you know how
well,
they
can figure
that out.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say when you said cash, but you mean yeah. you literally are not using a credit
no,
card.
No, because I figured, well, if it's a credit card, you know they can find you. Look at these
exactly,
sweat.
Sure.
And that's at your house, not here.
That's my house.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's not like a fan did it.
No. So it wasn't like the people in Niles went, oh, right. this guy's a Kincaid head.
Sure. And said
we'll
it to WGN Radio.
Right. This is at home.
Yeah, right.
So I'm kind of NSA scared right now that
well,
we are so observed and our privacy well, is so out the wazoo.
Gary, first of all, you should be scared about that. I mean, if you read about this stuff, I'm reading this book.
Is it just a coincidence?
No.
That they're I'm getting this stuff and I've been buying the calendars for a couple of years?
It would probably.
How do they know? I pay in cash.
Minority Report.
Yeah.
In that movie. They know what you like.
Okay, you are reading what, Tom?
No, I'm reading this book about Snowden and, you know, what all they're collecting on us and all. It's that journalist who put this stuff out in The Guardian, and it's a fascinating read. It really is. Who would have imagined that all this stuff is being collected? And so what they know about all of us is would probably... You turn heads, you know. It's pretty stunning stuff.
Yeah, we are. It is George Orwell.
Oh, George is. Forgive me. We've gone way past him. You know, he's old hat. It's pretty amazing. They have these PowerPoints that they had presented on what they're collecting on us, and it's. You know, they talk about how they get into our Facebook accounts and our Twitter accounts and our emails and all the rest of this kind of stuff. And, you know, some would argue that, well, that's got to be done to keep us safe. But the author always says that's always the way they start this out, and then it tends to balloon, you know.
Yeah.
And
I had this story. I have it somewhere. I'll get to it before 7. There's a company that scans tweets and things and looks for indicators of some kind of terrorist activity.
Yeah.
They scan all the tweets.
Yeah.
And Boston uses it. I don't know if they used it before the Marathon bombing. Obviously,
it didn't work there.
And maybe they didn't tweet the right words, but...
This is the point that's being made, though. You know, even though they look at all this stuff, where's the evidence that they've actually aborted? And, you know, they'll come up with one or two examples of this and then tell us we can't talk about it because it's classified. And, you know, it's an interesting debate to have. I don't know how we would have had it had this stuff not been released.
312-521-8600 is the... text and the phone number. Leslie's going to do her thing, although I don't know if you're on a schedule right now, are you? Because I don't know if the Cubs game is...
It's still an extra
innings.
She has
to work
yeah.
the other station. It's still an extra innings.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about anything right now. Okay, so just stand down.
Okay. Okay?
And let me read this text. WBBM-AM is talking about a polar vortex for next week.
Yeah.
And next year if the Cubs don't start winning.
I was just talking to the Red Eye folks about that. A lot of references to a polar vortex. First of all, my comment to the reporter at Red Eye was there is not a polar vortex in the summer. The Arctic region is illuminated by sunlight 24 hours a day, and the snow cover is gone. So we don't have a polar vortex in the summer. It's simply impossible to create one. What we do have is a pool of unusually cool air coming down, and I guess it's considered catchy if you call it a polar vortex or make reference to the polar vortex. And another point to be made on that is there's nothing unusual about a polar vortex like the one we had this past winter. It's the persistence of the cold air that was interesting, but the polar vortex forms seasonally each year as the days grow shorter and ultimately the Arctic regions go into round-the-clock darkness, just as in this time of the year, they're in round-the-clock sunlight. So you get snow cover to build up, and then this cold air pool begins to develop, and it expands seasonally, and then it shrinks and finally fades away.
All right, what is BBM AM talking about? This is reckless, and their license should be examined.
No, I'm not saying that. I just think when you talk...
So
what are you talking about, Gary, when you bring that up, 40?
What's going to happen? You got me worried.
Well, that's the thing. I think when you
say polar vortex...
The high
beams are going to be up all week?
People figure, wow, it's going to snow or something like that, or we're going to have ice again on the lake. It ain't going to happen. We're talking about daytime highs in the low 70s at the height of this thing. And nighttime lows in the low 50s out in the far west suburbs and probably upper 50s to near 60 in the city. So, you know, it's cool by midsummer standards, but a cool air mass in midsummer is far different than a cold air mass in January. Because you just don't, the physics and the whole setup of the atmosphere at this time of the year doesn't permit the kind of cold that develops in winter.
Oh, it's such a land grab for listeners on these radio stations. They're going to throw anything out there.
Yeah, that term caught people's fascination.
You better listen, because it's going to get scary next week.
Right.
Well, I'm Len Cooper.
It'll be
with that report coming up.
Well, and I don't blame WBBM. That's coming from a lot of different sources.
Who are we going to blame? The guy texted me and said they said it.
You know,
it's wrong. It's reckless.
It's not reckless. It's outrageous. It's catchy, you know. When you write a headline, you're supposed to catch, I guess, people's attention, and that does. But, you know, it should be pointed out that polar vortex, I think in most people's minds, involves ice and snow, and this is nothing like that, and nor will there be anything like that anywhere close to us.
I'm Felicia Middlebrook. It is chilly. The high beams are up.
Have you ever met Felicia? She's very nice. I met her at the Emmy Awards one time.
I don't remember if I did. And if I did, it was a long time ago.
She's very nice.
Yeah? But, okay. Is there anybody that you have ever met that is a piece of dog crap?
Yes, there
just
is.
Just let it out.
But I'm not.
Go ahead,
Gary.
You are remarkable. I read somebody's obituary the other day, and all the friends said he never had a bad word to say about anybody. I thought, how can you go through life?
I know.
And when I go, I'm sure they're going to ask Bibble. He goes, God, the guy raved about so many people.
Well, me too, Gary.
You hear that about these people.
Yeah.
Never had a bad word to say about anybody.
How can you
go through life?
I don't know.
And God bless
Jim's
you.
Going to be at your funeral, first of all.
Yeah, don't worry. We won't say that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you're going with me. If I'm going, I'm going to strangle you at the end, too.
Yeah.
But
again?
But that's remarkable if, in fact, that's true, that you can go through your entire life. And I'm sure some people have.
I know.
Not said a bad word about anybody. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, but I know somebody that was at a funeral one time, and they said, he had no faults.
Huh?
And I went, oh, my God, you didn't know him very well, did you? So I think people are just blinded by their grief.
Wipe the slate clean.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get the benefit of that.
The rose-colored analysis of one's life at that point, huh? I think that's right, Elda.
And then how about this text?
Yeah.
6 inches a year, that's what she said. That's how far the moon is drifting every year.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. Tom. Now, as far as that Thomas Kincaid mailer,
yeah.
I don't know how this makes sense either. This text says, you should know better than that. Now, this is about the recording artists and putting out records. We were talking about that. It says, record companies put pressure on the artists, but those artists we were talking about, the pressure's not nearly as great as it was 30, 40 years ago. In fact, the record companies we're talking about, Paul McCartney was on the Starbucks label a few years ago. Starbucks was putting out his albums.
Is that right?
And you'd buy it at the counter with your Rappa Flappuccino.
I remember that. Yeah, they used to have those albums there. So they had their own record label for that?
They have their, I don't know if they still do it. I think they stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a different universe. And
it is.
A Paul McCartney probably doesn't even need a label.
No.
You put it on iTunes or whatever, and you sell what you sell. And with that structure, you sell 4 million copies, and you make 67 cents. You ever seen these stories about these artists who are really PO'd at Pandora and these other services, Spotify? I had 5 million downloads, and they sent me a check for $1.30. It's the weirdest accounting we've ever heard of. And record companies, even in the day, that was the rap. They always had this creative accounting on how they paid their artists. Even if they sold millions of records, they'd come to them and say, well, the recording time was this. You sold this many, and here's what you made. You owe us money.
Wow.
Well, they told Eddie Murphy that Beverly Hills Cop 2 lost money.
Yeah.
It was the biggest comedy in history.
Right.
And his accountant said it lost money.
Movie accountants, I guess, are the worst or the best, depending on how you look at it.
Which side
you're on, yeah. Hey, we lost money.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the way that business rotates, I guess. All right, your birthday and anniversary are included on the calendar. What? On the Kincaid calendar? What does that mean? It's on there every year on any calendar.
Everybody's
they just don't know what they just don't know what day it is. Maybe they personalize it for you.
Kiosk in a mall in Pennsylvania. I mean, with cash, unless there's some a face recognition thing that's there, and then they put it through a bozo pewter, and that's how they get me.
That's right.
Who knows? Now I'm kind of thinking maybe there is something like that.
Gary, on your calendar, does it mark your birthday on that?
It's right off the shelf.
You're buying it in the used bin, right?
That's Chris Angel territory. That's David Blaine.
But they're claiming in their promotional material that they mark it. Well, yeah, I mean, all right, it's
on there, but that
they don't designate it in some special way. Why
ever since
that?
I bought a couple Kincaid calendars, I've been getting mailings about other Kincaid stuff.
Wow.
And it's just a coincidence?
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. You sure you
address
didn't want
well,
something
you know what,
somewhere?
Though? You know what? I might be the culprit here because I sent you a Kincaid Christmas thing.
Oh, that's
you
it.
Son of a...
That's what happened.
That's
sure.
It.
And it went to your address at home.
Sure.
You.
That's
so
what it is.
I may be the villain.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah.
Oops. Sure. There it is.
There it is.
Oops.
Yeah.
There it is.
You know that little... Remember the tree with the...
Yeah.
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 Well, do you mind getting those things?
And it was a Kincaid thing, so now they know that you...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, you know, it was under your
okay,
name.
Okay, I forgot about
that's
that. That's it.
That's what happened. Sure.
I'm the culprit.
Because it's addressed to me. It's
right.
Not to my wife.
No,
I think,
it was to you.
Yeah, that's
you know,
where it is.
The thing you were talking about last week with Restoration Hardware and how they send 13 catalogs.
Right,
and all
that big bundle they sent out.
Oh, my word. Now, how did they get your name there? Did you sign up for that?
I've bought things from Restoration
gotcha.
Hardware on
okay,
a credit
so
card, so when that happens,
that's it.
I figure.
Sure, you're
I like Restoration Hardware. I don't mind their catalogs, although I don't need 13 of them. In fact, I just threw another one out today in recycling.
Nice. Wow.
I saved about three. Cause I like the cover of certain catalogs.
Yeah.
They look good on the table, but after a while, okay, out. So I have to talk about, as long as you got time, Tom? Or
sure.
Busy?
No, go right ahead. Gary.
So I'm going through the mail, and I'm getting rid of the catalogs, and I'm thinking, the catalogs never really stop in volume. After Christmas, you think they'll taper off for about 3 or 4 months. There might be a week where there's a lull. You only get one or two. So yesterday, there are about 4 or 5, 6 catalogs in the mailbox.
Wow.
And I go through, I tear off the address because I'm going to recycle. And you don't know who's at the recycling
right.
plant. And they'll
right.
come and knife you or something.
Sure,
I don't know.
Right.
I tear off the label on the cover, but then I go inside the magazine because sometimes in the mailing slip, they'll have your address printed on there too.
Yeah.
You got to double check.
I know. I get really nervous about throwing things away now too. They tell you to grind up everything. I've got a shredder. I always thought only criminals had shredders, you know, years ago, but I've got one. I run all my, you know, envelope, all the bills through when they're paid or, you know, stuff that
I rip them up by hand and then I mix them like a salad in the garbage,
right.
and then I get the mustard out, and I squirt it
right.
on top, and it's a nice cocktail that way. If you want to go through that, go ahead.
Yeah, but remember in Argo, where they had all those kids, you know, that got together and would put together the shredded stuff?
All that shredded information that they were intercepting,
again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does
that really go on, by the way?
I think it does. I've seen that before.
Wow.
I don't know if it's only in movies. I assume it's not.
Yeah.
Where that shredder, it shreds about 80 pieces on one piece of paper, but it's all vertical, right?
Yes.
And if you find it's got to be crazy
sure.
to find all the pieces, but you can tape them
back together.
And that's what they were doing in that movie.
Yeah. I've got a shredder, though, that seems to cut it horizontally and vertically. This thing really, I don't know, it wasn't mine. One of my roommates had it and brought it in. And it really seems to dispense with that notion of just shredding them one way.
That's what I wish.
It would be easy to put them together again.
I know it wouldn't work during the summer as well. I had a fireplace. I had a fireplace at my condo in Frankfurt, and I would sit there during the winter, and I'd get the mail and then light a fire and just throw it in the fireplace.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was nice. So you're getting a little warmth.
Right.
You're throwing stuff in there. It's gone. No bulk.
Right. It's like biofuel.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
And so there's that. Well, anyway, I'm looking through this catalog. It's a Nordstrom's catalog in the shoe section. And there's a woman in a motorized wheelchair modeling boots. And I had never seen, not that I'm opposed to it, I'm thinking
right.
when I saw that, they should have more people with handicaps and catalogs, right? Because they're part of the population.
Absolutely,
but
right.
But unless I've missed some, this is the first time I've seen a handicapped person modeling something.
Shoes. Plus, she's a young woman, like a hipster.
Yeah.
Too. She's got, like, the army boots.
Right, and her hair is different colors and
is
all that.
Is she thin?
She looks like the girl from the dragon tattoo. She's got that
oh,
kind
okay.
of look.
Oh, okay.
You've never seen this, Leslie, before? Any kind of handicap modeling shoes.
Well, like I said, I want to say that Walmart for a while was using their own employees
as
models, so they weren't all Barbie
a lot of
size.
Stretch, a lot of stretch pants?
No. Those are the customers.
Oh, okay.
You ever see that people of Walmart, on the internet?
Yeah.
That is just rude. Just because my thong pulls up on top of my pant top,
but
why did somebody have to take a picture?
I was just going to notice, though, that so it's okay for you to be a handicap model, just can't be a fatty still.
No, she's still. No, she's hot.
That's what
I'm
saying.
She's certainly hot.
I'm surprised, like I said, it's 2014. This is the first time. Again, I may have missed something.
Yeah, you know,
I've never seen somebody in a wheelchair modeling something.
I don't think
in a
I ever have either.
Plus, not to be
mentioning,
not to be sensitive.
When you say not to be sensitive, let's hit the Craig.
Creef.
I had another psycho meeting today with Dieter on my
Dilbert
on my dual producer thing, and I swear to God. There's a camera, and they're punking the bizarro out of me. Anyway, Keith, what, did Craig run home crying already? Yeah. Do you have that warning we played before the song yesterday? Yeah. Can you play that, please?
Craig.
Yeah.
Warning. The following audio contains strong adult and uncensored language. The Gary Myers Show gives you permission to slightly turn down your volume, or we hope for an extreme amount of buffering to be had on your end. Either way, we don't give a sh**.
It's not recorded audio. It's just what.
Spartans!
Yeah, there's a Spartan chant again. Jeez. When he says not to offend anybody, you know what's coming.
No,
there's a lot of offending that's going to follow.
No. Is that wheelchair is very cool looking.
All right, that's not his point, though.
No.
You sound like Dieter. You start, you make something kind of nice, and then boom.
No, I'm saying is that it's a very kind of hip. Industrial black looking.
Right.
It's not your standard order. So it almost looks like they're almost selling, like get a cool wheelchair too. Just don't stop at the boot.
Yeah, the boot that she's modeling does go with this.
Yeah, that's
21st century wheelchair.
Yeah, it sort of looks kind of she has a whole look going even with her wheelchair.
Are you going to put this on your Facebook page so we can see this?
If people don't get these catalogs or whatever, I'm just. Surprised we haven't seen it earlier.
It's like a whole look, not just
right.
So it's like the chair now.
If you're in a wheelchair of this caliber, you need to get this hip boot.
Yeah, right. You can't. Or if you want to look cool, you can't just get a standard order chair. You better get a cool chair, and then you'll be cool enough to wear our boots.
Because this woman is totally hipped up.
Oh yeah,
I mean, kind of the purplish hair teased up,
and it's got that industrial black, wheelchair.
Yeah,
it's kind of a. I mean, I wouldn't
souped
mind.
Up.
I wouldn't mind that wheelchair.
There you go. Porsche, the Prius.
I had this idea years ago.
If I needed one, I would get that one.
Years ago, those rascals and things, you see older people and a lot of other people. And I think there's not maybe a lot, but a number of people are probably embarrassed because they're in those things. And I always thought, well, maybe if you sold aftermarket covers like an airplane or a little Rolls Royce, like kids' cars,
or Batman. How cool would it look to be a Batmobile scooter?
Yeah,
what are those called? Rascals.
Yeah,
a Batmobile rascal. How cool! Yeah. I would drive.
Or
that.
A little Tesla.
How cool, really?
Put aftermarket bodies to snap onto these things, and you'd look a little cooler. How about a Concorde plane? I'm in a Concorde. A what?
Chrome, but Batmobile.
No! The Batmobile would be very cool.
Because they have the need to have these things for whatever reason, but it's a rascal and it's associated with older people.
Well, I went to one of those restaurants last week where, you know, like where they have the meals where all the older people go at like 2:30 to have dinner.
Mm-hmm. Early bird special.
Yeah. And so it was, I mean, there was almost a rack in the restaurant for walkers. That's where they parked them, you know.
Sure.
And did something happen? Did Tom leave?
I heard his phone ringing, and then he turned his microphone off.
Okay.
Well, he's been on 45 minutes. And...
But this woman had a walker that matched her outfit.
Color?
She had a purple metallic walker, and she had a purple blouse. And I was like, now that, because then the other ones came in, and they had the standard issue, you know, that bad brushed silver, you know, and they're just, and I'm like, they look old.
And
but this lady
the
looked
walker
cool.
with the handbrakes.
Yes.
Did she cut a tennis ball and put him on the? Yeah.
She had that.
In case it starts sliding, she's got some grip.
Yeah. But her walker matched her blouse.
Well, you got to make.
And I was like, she looks cool.
You got to take the prunes and make prunade.
Well, she had those big giant Liz Taylor like sunglasses on.
Yeah.
She looked like she was the Grand Dam, but she had a matching. And the other ones who didn't have it, they looked like old people. And this woman was just as old, but she looked cool.
Well, so now everything in her closet has to be purple because you're not going to be buying new walkers.
I'm betting she has at least four different color walkers.
Well, as the population ages and we have a large amount of people that are over 65, over 80 now, and when you go take a flight, at least the last dozen flights I've taken, there are at least six or seven people in wheelchairs lined up to be pre-boarded.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just going to keep on going.
It's
going to take a half hour just to get all those people in at some point.
I mean, I counted. As we sat there, seven people walked in with walkers in that restaurant.
Well, you know, as you say, Gary, as the population ages, that's going to only go farther.
It's going to be more and more of that. And we've all had parents where you just watch them go through all kinds of things. And, and I'm like, sure, a lot of people, that's our reward. For making it to the end. I mean, if you can keep your health, but how many? There's going to be something that starts to wobble.
There's very
at certain ages.
Yeah, you have some, you're going to get, even if you're going to have a cane, it's going
to
be something.
Yeah, how many people you see that are 85 and go, can't wait.
Right.
Can't wait to get to that.
Yeah. Those hurry canes look awesome.
Yeah.
I do like, did you ever see the new cane with the four?
The three.
What? It's like a tripod.
Right.
It stands by itself.
Yeah.
When you let go of it, it doesn't fall over.
Right.
It's got three suction cups.
I wonder who thought of that and was watching some old person with a regular cane, and then, when they want to grab something, they got to lean it or hang it.
Or it falls. And then they can't, if they try to bend over, they may fall over and break their hip.
Tripod.
Right.
It's true.
With suction cups. It's awesome.
Yeah. Those things look like something out of Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds. You know, I just you expect to see a giant version of those.
There's your growth industry. If you come up with something that population can really use.
Oh, it's true.
I wish I came up with the grabber that gets the cereal boxes off the top shelf.
Right.
That grabber thing.
Yeah.
How many of those people have a grabber? I mean,
on a daily basis.
I mean, the good one.
They need to get something off the shelf.
I mean, the good one. Yeah.
You know what?
We have two because of my mom.
Is it called a grabber?
That's what we always call it, but it's great because things fall behind the desk. You got that thing right there.
And if you have
you didn't hear this yesterday, Tom.
No. And Leslie brought this up. Some people have a magnet
in their face.
Put in their fingertips so they can pick up safety pins and stuff.
That's a good idea.
You like that, huh?
Well, have you ever tried to pick up a pin or something that you dropped on the floor?
That's what I said yesterday.
So it's true.
You would have surgery to have a magnet put in just for that.
Well, jeez.
If you're unscrewing something.
Yeah.
Where do you put the screws?
It's true.
Now you just leave them on your fingers.
That's true.
That's why they have the magnetized.
Can you imagine going through the...
Yeah, but what if you don't have one of those?
Well,
the metal detector at the airport when you have the, you know, magnets and planes and all
that. How does
that
work?
Yeah, that would be a trip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because they'd have to run that thing over your fingers and they go, what do you got in there?
Right, exactly.
You know
I've got magnets.
Thought of last night, you can't get an MRI then.
That's true.
So you'd have to keep your hands somewhere far, far away from the machinery, or it would be attached to the machinery in no time.
Who came up with that idea? Think about it. Somebody woke up and went, you know what would be cool? Magnets in my fingertips. Sounds like a Paul McCartney song.
Wanted to be some kind of it was probably some young guy that liked superheroes and wanted to have, like, some power in his hands to grab stuff and said, hey, maybe I could put a magnet in my finger and all of a sudden I can...
I'd rather have it in my toes then, because then I could just put it right there and then reach down and pick it up. I don't know. Why not in your toes? I'm sure they email him with that comment. Why are you doing that? Okay, go out. He's not telling you to stay home.
He gets blamed for bad weather. He gets blamed if people don't go outside their houses. Jeez.
It's not his deal. You can go out whenever you want to go out. No law against it. So who won the ball game?
Don't know.
They went into extra innings. Cubs have been on a losing streak.
They haven't won since they traded Jeff Samardzija.
Oops. And Leslie's got stuff to talk about.
Cubs won.
They did?
6-4.
Breaks that six-game losing streak.
Yeah.
That helps.
12 innings to do it.
Okay. 312-521-8600 is the phone and text number. It says here on this text, I was talking about these people at board in wheelchairs, and they seem to be increasing every time I fly. It was reported by Southwest Airlines that there is a much larger number of passengers boarding their aircraft in wheelchairs than those that need them when they've reached their destination.
See, that's what I've been wondering.
Just for the early boarding.
Was that fake?
Perhaps a way to get priority boarding without paying.
Yeah.
The ones I've seen, they did look elderly, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you can't walk, but there were at least six of them lined up on my flight over the weekend.
I mean, that girl in your calendar, she's young and she needs a... So age doesn't really matter.
I did notice as far as wheelchairs, the wide wheelchairs. They've got these extra wide wheelchairs now because the population is bigger.
Are they bigger because they're allowed to be extra wide in a wheelchair?
Or that they get fatter because they can't move.
But then they're getting on a plane where the seat is not bigger. That seat has not really changed over the years.
It's gotten smaller, if anything.
And you're wedged in there, so you get the nice ride in the wheelchair, but then you got to wedge into the seat.
Wedge in or buy two.
I have not seen anybody do the two.
I saw one guy do it
yeah?
once. And he was that huge. I can't imagine how he could fly otherwise.
I always take the aisle seat, and the flight out, a woman sat between me and this guy at the window, and she was kind of big. So, okay, I just pulled over. That's why I like the aisle.
Because
I can kind of
bleed out into the
scooch.
Aisle. Right, yeah.
But then she offered me her peanuts and her pretzels. So I thought, well, that's nice.
Oh. Yeah.
But she had a sweet roll in her purse. in her purse, so it didn't really matter.
Well, it was a nice gesture. I asked, are you allergic to peanuts? Because I don't want to start doing this. And then you go into anaphylactic shop or whatever that shock is. What is it?
Anaphylactic.
Okay.
I used to know
anaphylactic
her.
Is that commercial for the duck.
I used to know anaphylactic.
That's where I bought the pretzel. Anaphylactic pretzel.
Anti-anaphylactic.
312-521-8600. I forgot to pick music today.
Oh.
Yeah. It's always something.
Well, you had that big meeting.
I did. I did have the big meeting. All right, well, let's just keep going. What do you say?
So how was your meeting?
We worked something out. I don't know if it's long-term. There's never any long-term.
It's radio.
It is. But we did make some headway as to what's going on with these dual producers. It's like I'm the Doobie Brothers and I have two drummers. They try to convince me that this is always good, and I sit there and go, I was happy before. I'm not one of these high-maintenance people.
I didn't have to be made happier.
Right. Once I'm in a groove,
yeah,
I'll go forever.
I was fine.
But everybody's got, how about this idea? There's always something that's going to make it better. I'm thinking, but wait a minute. We haven't settled into one thing yet. Because last fall, they pulled Stephanie off. She was the producer.
Well, first they pulled Andre off.
Well, the news person.
Right.
And then when it came to the producer, one day, Stephanie's not going to be on your show anymore. Who would you like to have as your producer? So I thought, okay, Craig has worked in fill-in capacity. He seems to get it. I'll take Craig. So that's only been about 8 months.
Right. Has it been a year?
And I didn't ask for a new producer. I was too busy unloading my boxes in my new office to even think about that.
And today one of your balls fell.
I have these leather...
I thought we were back on the old people talk.
Yeah. Another angel got its wings when that ball hit the floor.
Oh, my God. I mean, someone was walking by.
All right. These leather, they're decorative baseballs. Somebody gave them to me many years ago. They're all different colors. Had them in my old office in Craig's space because I didn't have any room for them. But I found a space in the new office on this ledge up right by the door. But it wasn't very wide, so I put a little tape on the bottom and put them up there the other night. And I think it was Creef, right?
Yeah.
That was standing there, and one just fell off.
Spontaneously combusted.
Hit the desk. And
man, if he had been right by the door.
All right, well, I think I got it up there
now. By the way, your window display is beautifully thought out. Now that I really look at it with the suitcases and the telescope.
It's thematic.
It is. It totally is.
And the blow-up raft?
Well, I have a pool raft. Right. And it's kind of psychologically, in case all goes to hell, I got my life raft here. It's psychological.
Have you been using it?
It's psychological.
And then do you fly away in your little plane, too?
And I have a plane that a friend of mine, his father builds these model planes, and it's a fairly big plane, and I saw it once. He said, take it. So it's been in my office for months, and I'm going to probably hang it by the window so it looks like it's flying in through the window. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was hung in the other studio in the other office downstairs.
Yeah, I did originally have it hanging from the ceiling, but in the second office, it didn't really have any space for that. Now I do again.
Boy, was it hot in there today.
So are you allowed to lift the scrim, the Hulls and Hood things?
I am not, as far as I can tell. There's no way to lift it right now. There's a scrim for the restaurant next door. But I was thinking, because the air conditioning doesn't work really well, it gets pretty hot because there's a southern exposure.
Right.
Without that scrim, that sun would be pouring in. But let's talk about Paul McCartney. My friend Ron Lamar, he is the head of a corrugated box company, Rex Carton, because, Ron, as you've told me, everything comes in a box.
That's right, Gary.
And you went to the show last night.
I did. And? I went to about the 9th or 10th time I've seen Paul McCartney.
And?
Believe it or not, that guy just keeps going, man. He was great. He played hard. He looked great.
But what about the song selections?
The song selection was, he played about 30 or 40 songs, I would say. And half Beatles, half Wings. He did 4 songs off the new album, which is called New. And they were actually really good. It's strong. The material's strong from that album. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show. It wasn't as good as the Wrigley show about 2 years ago, but it was darn close.
And your seats, were they good?
Excellent seat. 5th row.
How much?
Center. How much?
Yeah.
That's do what I have to say that on the air?
Did you buy them from a broker?
No, I actually got them through Paul McCartney, through his website. And I actually did the sound check as well, which before the show, which was pretty cool.
How much?
How much for the ticket?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
One ticket, how much?
$1,500.
$1,500, that's for the sound check and the 5th row seat.
The sound check, booze, food, and the sound check was amazing. He did 13 songs. He played for 50 minutes. And it was really intimate. He plays a lot of acoustic, comes out in, like, jeans, just like a shirt.
Naked.
He wasn't naked, but it was much more casual. And his band is casual.
How many people, Ron, at the sound check?
I would say 150, maybe.
Okay. I've made this comment before. If you're going to pay $1,500 to get the sound check, you don't meet him, right?
No, you do not meet him.
What would be the problem with having a little get-together for 150 people that paid premium to shake your hand and have that contact? That, to me, that's $1,500 right there.
I'll agree with you on that. It would have been nice. Or, you know, maybe once in a while just surprise some people and, you know, okay, today I'm going to go down and shake a few hands or something. That might be cool. But he's Paul McCartney, you know. And
I know, but that just seems like, hey, I've done it all. I've seen it all. This is I just want to say thanks for all the support. You shake his hand, you get to say a few things. That, to me, that's why he's still doing it. So he obviously likes being out there.
You could tell he loves it.
Yeah.
You can tell he loves doing what he does. But you can also tell that he has a huge ego, as we all know.
Ding.
And but, you know, it was funny because when they bring you in, first you come in, you have a couple drinks, and then they say, okay, and 15 minutes, we're going to bring you down to the, you know, into the area where you're going to stand for the sound check. And they have a woman come out, and she gives you all the rules, like no video, no texting. So one of the guys next to me says, why no texting? He says, well, Paul doesn't like to look out and see people looking at their phones.
Okay. I paid $1,500. I'll look at whatever I want to look at.
So here's the funny thing. He plays 2 songs. turns around, picks his phone up off the amp, and starts sending a text.
No texting!
I did. I yelled that out. And then a couple guys in the van started laughing. Oh, it was pretty funny. But, yeah, I did yell that out.
Is this the first time you've done the sound check?
That's the first time I've ever done the sound check, yeah.
Okay, and you're in the fifth row. We went about 10, 11 years ago, and we were in the fifth row, right? You, me, and some other people?
Yeah, some other people from your past.
Right. And and you got to me, if you want to get into the concert, you got to be in the first, I don't know what, 25, 40 rows?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you start first five rows.
Five. You can't.
It's pretty cool being that close.
But there's a price to pay, obviously. If you didn't do the sound check, how much would that seat have been?
I think it would have been like 600, 500, something like that.
So
in that area, I think his top ticket was four. I don't know. I think his top ticket, like if you would have got it from Ticketmaster, was maybe 500 or something.
Yeah.
But you know what, Gary? Last year, the Stones were selling what their top tickets were $650 at the United Center.
Yeah.
For so. I know that the tickets in the club level for the Stones were $450 last year.
Yeah, I know. That's heavy freight, and you got to be willing because you're probably not going to go by yourself. So say you bring your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever.
Oh, no. My wife sat in the cheap seats with my kids, and I sat in the fifth row.
Oh, here we go. How much were the cheap seats?
Those were like, they actually were good seats, but they were like $250 each.
Okay, still, you're up. Now you're into the 2000 something category.
Yeah, it was an expensive evening.
Are you going to ever go back?
Well, you know, that's why I can justify it. I always say this could be the last time. And this guy's like a cockroach. He just keeps going. You can't kill him.
Ron Lamar says Paul McCartney's like a cockroach. You can't kill him.
Yeah, you can't. So,
what was the opening song?
His opening in the regular show was 8 days a week.
And what do they do? Different songs in the sound check?
Yeah, actually, the sound check was pretty cool. He came out. He did a lot of covers. He came out and did first song he did was Honey Don't in the sound check. Then he did Blue Suede Shoes, and then he lifted up his feet and he was wearing blue suede shoes, which was kind of funny. And then he started out with electric guitar. And then he switched over to the famous Hoffer bass, and everybody starts clapping. That's in the sound check, and he looks out in the audience, and he says, "Are you clapping for me, or are you clapping for the bass?" And that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was good. He did he did a few other covers. What else did he do? Oh, he did San Francisco Bay Blues. He did Midnight Special.
Ron went to see the Fab Four for the first time last November, per my suggestion. And how would you compare the Fab Four to McCartney? McCartney doesn't bring out the strings and the horn section.
No, all that stuff that McCartney does, like if it is strings or horns or anything, it's done on keyboard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he doesn't.
Fab Four brings out all the real people.
Yeah. Yeah, he used to tour with strings and horns, but the last few tours he hasn't. But the Fab Four, they really, you're not seeing Paul McCartney, obviously, but it's phenomenal. The sound quality is phenomenal,
yeah.
The Fab Four. They really are unbelievable.
If you want to hear Beatles music done the way the Beatles couldn't even do it in the day, they do it.
No question. And the sound quality is amazing. They hit it note for note.
Yeah,
I mean,
every breath.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
So we will go and see them in November again.
Yeah, I'd love to see them again. Love to see them. And the other thing that's cool about the Fab Four, Gary, as you know, they'll do an entire album.
Right.
You know, they'll come out and do Magical Mystery Tour or Sgt. Pepper's or, which is, that's way cool, too.
See, I've been saying for years, and you know this, Ron, that a McCartney should set up shop at a Chicago theater for 2 weeks and just do different albums every night. And he could charge premium for that, and you'd sell all that out.
Oh, yeah.
Something different.
But he's doing, like, if you look at his tour dates on this tour, Gary, he must be running out of cities because he's doing like Fargo, South Dakota, or North Dakota, wherever Fargo is.
And where the freak Fargo is.
He's doing Albany, New York. He's doing, he's doing all these like smaller cities that, you know, you wouldn't expect McCartney to go to. So.
Well, he's just been out not too long ago, so he has to kind of not saturate certain areas.
Right. Yeah. Oh, last year he did Milwaukee. He didn't do Chicago, but he did Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
So this year he did Chicago, and 2 years ago he did Chicago. So he loves the road these days. You know, it's funny. These guys don't tour for 10 years, and now, you know, he's toured every year for the last six. You know, it's crazy.
I think the best one I saw was when he came out with Wings in the 70s, probably that first tour, Wings Over America.
76. Wings Over America.
76 yeah. at the stadium. Did
yeah.
you see that one at the stadium?
Yeah, that was my first concert.
I won tickets from a radio station because I couldn't get them otherwise.
Yeah.
And they were great tickets, and that was incredible to see the Beatle not that far after he was a Beatle and the Wings tour, the whole thing. Yeah.
He did a lot of Beatles songs on that.
Yeah,
too.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an incredible show, and, I mean, the excitement just because McCartney was touring at the time, and he had – that was a cutting-edge show, too, if I recall correctly. I mean, he had all the special effects, and yeah, that was way cool.
Right.
And that was the hottest show of that summer,
if you can remember that far back, yeah.
Yeah. What I remember. I do remember it, though, because it was my first concert, and I went with my mom.
little Ronnie with his mother.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, Ron's mother's a partier, too.
Yeah,
that should be
my mom and her gay hairdresser.
you three went. That was the combo.
Well, Gil was there too,
and your brother Gil.
Yeah, Gil.
All right. Okay. All right, Ron. Appreciate the update.
Hey, Gary. Anytime. Paul is Paul. He's just. You know, I got to tell you one other thing that
sure.
was interesting about the people that were around us. They're all like regular. I started talking to them. They're all like regulars. And so many of these people, how many times have you seen McCartney? Oh, 120. You know, next, they're going to every, a lot of them, they're like almost like deadheads. They go to
every
they
show.
They follow them around. Yeah. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. I said, how do you guys afford it? This one woman said to me, she goes, well, I really don't have any possessions. I just follow Paul around. I'm like,
imagine no possessions.
That's great. Yeah.
And he is doing, speaking of that, he is doing some Harrison Lennon-specific songs, right?
Oh, yeah, he does. Well, he does something on the ukulele, which he's been doing the last few tours. He doesn't actually do a John Lennon song, per se, but he does that Here Today, where he does the video of him while he's singing Here Today, which was the song he wrote for when John was killed. So he does do that, but he doesn't actually do, like, a specific John Lennon song like he does something with...
one of the set lists that Bibble sent to me, he had For the Benefit of Mr. Kite on there. And Ron got cut off somehow.
Oh, because they had to do the...
Had to do the what?
The switch when the Cubs go.
You know, can't figure out how not to do that? Can you call Ron back, please? Yeah.
Yeah, whenever that... switch happens,
the phones go.
Yeah.
It's like that situation yesterday when I was talking about Cousin Eddie and the metal plate. Whenever his wife turns the microwave on, he pisses his pants. Something like that.
Well, he did do that Valentine song you were talking about yesterday.
He did last night?
That's in the set.
Why would you do that?
I know. Well, because, you know, he did Queenie Eye, which is a new one. He did New, which is from the new album as well. But he had to do one for that other album, too. So
why? He didn't have to.
Well,
but that song, again,
I know.
If you're even a diehard fan, is going to think, please don't do Freedom.
Remember didn't do Freedom.
Remember he wrote that song probably on the way to the
9/11.
Studio after 9/11?
Yeah. Oh. And he thought that was going to be an anthem for the ages.
Yeah.
Remember he was trying to get everybody to sing it at the end? And no one even wanted to sing it then.
Freedom. But that Valentine's song,
when
it's not Valentine's Day, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, depending on how you count it, especially at the end, because he sort of does the medley from the end of Abbey Road. But it did 38 songs, if you count, like, and in the end as one song, which I guess.
Yeah, but a lot of those songs are 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, At least at 35 songs.
Ron, sorry, when we transition out of the Cubs game, don't ask me why, it cuts the phone off.
Oh, I thought it was, I'm glad I thought it was on my end. But you were absolutely right. Before we got cut off, he did do Mr. Kite last night. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did do that.
See,
so,
I don't know why he doesn't just ask the diehard fans what they'd like to see, because the diehard fans, and I don't know if I'm as diehard as a Ron Lamar, I would say do a section of Lennon-specific songs, a section, not just one song. And the ukulele on something, I don't know. It's that guitar that sold it.
But George used to always play the ukulele, so that's why it's kind of a tribute to George.
I get that George liked the ukulele, but several songs that were sung by them.
Well, what he does now, what he didn't do, he starts with the ukulele, and then he transitions into, you know, the full something where that they have the full band playing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so he does transition out of that ukulele thing.
When the Fab Four do While My Guitar Gently Weeps, that thing, when they get into that, you tear up. That's how good it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, he also played the ukulele during the sound check. He did Ram On, which was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, Ram On.
You know, and that's a perfect example right there. He never does anything from Ram in concert, and that's like one of my favorite Paul McCartney albums.
See? Ask the fans. Why don't you do more Ram stuff?
Yeah, you know, like a Moonberry Moon Delight or, you know, Too Many People. That'd be cool.
That's why you set up shop at the Chicago Theater for 2 weeks, and then you can run through all kinds of stuff.
And like I said, the guy enjoys playing. You can tell. I mean, he could sit up there all night, it seems like. I mean, the fact that he did a 50-minute sound check and then does a almost 3-hour show. He played for almost 4 hours last night.
Yeah, well, there. And sometimes you don't want to play some of those songs because they don't fill a stadium properly.
Right.
But in a smaller venue, those things would play out very well.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's definitely playing to the audience. Like, a lot of the stuff he does is to get the audience involved. Like, you know, he did, like, and this is kind of an obscure song, but, and I'm not even sure the name of it, but it's that one that goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, can I? You know, and he's getting the whole audience.
All together now.
All together now. And he's getting the whole audience involved, and, you know, he's got everybody singing, and, you know, that's kind of his stickler nowadays.
What about did he do Hey Jude?
He did Hey Jude.
Only the guys on the left!
Yeah, he did that.
Right. Only the ladies!
Yeah.
And Live and Let Die, he has done that song because he has the pyrotechnics going off.
Let me tell you something. I was checking my eyebrows being in the fifth row. The heat from those, I'm amazed that they allow those things indoors. It was really hot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's been doing that for a long time. He did that in 1976.
Yeah, he does it every time he tours. I don't think I've ever seen or heard about a tour where he didn't do it because he likes the fact that he can do the fireworks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that in Wings Over America, which
The song came out in 73. I played a couple songs from Flowers in the Dirt. That album is 25 years old. Ron, how the hell old are we?
We're old.
Ron is one of those guys.
The average age at this show, it really was unbelievable. I mean, I'm amazed at it was either they were either over 60 or under 15. There was no like 20-somethings or 30-somethings there. It was like 50s and 60s or, you know, 15 or 16 and under, you know, parents or grandparents bringing their kids to the show because they want them to see Paul McCartney.
Ron's one of those guys, you go to his house and you're like this Bibble. He had about, I don't know how many CDs on a wall, all alphabetized. What do you want to hear?
Right.
And you go right to it and pull it out.
And when you alphabetize them, do you put them in order of release?
Yes.
Yes, you have
the band, like if it's Zeppelin or Stones or Beatles, it's in order of release.
Yeah,
you
start from left to right. Like, I always have the most recent on the left, and then it goes descending to the right. Which way do you
definitely? Go?
Yeah,
definitely.
How many do you have, Ron?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I have no idea.
And since we've gone digital, do you still buy CDs or are you all digital?
You know, I still buy CDs because I like to, it's just like with albums. I like to hold them and look at them and pull the little books out and do that kind of stuff. But I have been buying more and more digital just because of the convenience of it.
Yeah.
But I've also been buying more albums. I don't know if I told you this, Gary, but I put in a turntable, bought a new turntable about, I don't know, 6 months or so ago, and I've been starting to break out albums again. So
you are an audio head.
Well, I don't know about that, but I enjoy listening to music. That's for sure.
Yeah. You and Bibble are the two guys I know that have massive amounts of music at home.
And the Beatles, well, if you're going to talk about the Beatles, about a year ago, they came out with the whole box set of all their LPs. So you can get all their LPs digitally remastered. They're not the half speed masters that came out, you know, 25 years ago. But this is a new set that they came out with. And I picked it up, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty good.
And this is the
covers and everything are.
Here, this will make you feel good. This is the 50th anniversary of A Hard Day's Night, and they've restored the film. And it's out in certain theaters.
It's a music box.
Yeah. And
yeah,
it's 50 years old.
Tonight's the last night, and I wanted to go see that, and I didn't get a chance, but that sounds really cool.
Yeah. All right, Ron.
Gary, pleasure talking to you.
Hey, thank you.
And good luck on the internet here.
Thank you. Have you been listening?
I have. Here and there. Not as much as, you know, I hate to say it, but it's not as convenient to listen to you on, you know, the internet as it was when you just get in your car and turn the radio on.
I've known Ron for how many years?
30, maybe.
Okay.
27,
so when I was Jack Ruby Jr. with that nightclub one night, he's there, Ron's there, and
yeah.
Brian Ferry comes in.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, Roxy Music.
From Roxy Music.
Yeah.
And Ron, being the audio guy he is, so I look over, and Ron and Brian Ferry are talking for about an hour.
Yeah.
And he was one of
talking about albums.
Yeah. And he was one of the nicest guys, right?
That guy couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
And I was the most popular guy in the club that day because all these girls saw me talking to Brian Ferry. And when I walked away, they descended on me, like, can you introduce me to Brian Ferry? Can you give me that? I was like, I really can't.
Yeah. Talk about cool, Brian Ferry.
He's still cool. He's like 100 and he's still cool.
Exactly.
he was really cool. And we started talking about, I can't even remember, but a few albums. He goes, you have that album? I go, yeah. And we started just, he was a cool dude. I don't know, how did he end up in there, Gary, that night?
I don't remember. I mean, it's 25 years ago, but I do remember that night like it was a week ago.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see you because I knew you would really have a lot to talk about because you know music as well as anybody, and you engaged with him for about an hour.
Yeah, I was amazed at how nice he was. I mean, he was just a really nice, down-to-earth. You think of him as like one of the coolest guys in the world, and he wouldn't, you know, would be kind of an asshole or something. Oh, excuse me.
Hey, but, freeform, baby.
Of, stream.
Stream. See, if you listen more, you'd hear more of that.
anyway, that guy could not have been nicer. He really couldn't have.
And there you have it. And you didn't pay a dime. You paid $1,500 last night. No shaking of the hands.
No shake. Nothing.
No conversation.
Nothing.
All right, Ron. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Ron Lamar, my friend from many years, or for many years.
Bye, Gary.
All right.
That's pretty cool that he played for 50 minutes. That he played
for the sound check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've done that with Peter Gabriel. There was a thing, and it was the same deal. You go in early, and but he only played like two or three songs. So 50 minutes.
Well, it is, again, $1,500.
Yeah, this wasn't $1,500 either.
Yeah, and I know you get drinks and food and all that, but I had been hearing about this sound check premium price. He's been doing it for a while. Yeah. And I asked somebody else before, so you get to meet him, right? No. And I'm thinking, well, if it's 150 people, that wouldn't be that big of a deal, would it? Just to shake your hand?
Just to say hi?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the big deal?
So say there are 150 people, and that's $1,500 times 150 people.
Not bad. And that's before the show even started. He's already made that much. You know what I mean?
Ding.
That's to watch your screw-ups.
Yeah, right. That's just like to tune up.
Yeah.
Well, Elton's doing that now, and get this. It's not even a sound check. It's you can get, but you go before the concert, and some guy will walk you around backstage. You get to see his costumes, and you get to take a picture at the piano. And that's like $700.
For $800, they bring his dog in.
Yeah. I mean, and so that's he's not even there. You will not meet him. You will not see him. He will not be playing. The band will not be playing. This is just walk around with some guy. He'll show you.
Somebody came up with this idea. Hey, these fans are so rabid. They will pay this, and you don't have to do anything with them. Just to touch your keyboard or have a sandwich that you took a bite out of, they'll pay.
And it's with your camera, the picture. So you have to bring your own camera and get the picture. They'll take it. But okay. You know, yeah, I mean, but, you know, the thing is that because the they know. And, that you know, your friend just said, well, Jesus, he never used to tour, and now he's touring every year. They know that the window is very small. You've got baby boomers who have have disposable income, and they will pay.
Right.
Because they
but
have
for how much longer?
Well, how much longer do they live, and how much longer will the artists live? So they need to get that as much as quickly as they can. So that's why they're going to probably keep touring every year, because once they go, just like he said, look, no 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds were at those concerts.
And who can fill these arenas?
Nobody.
They are having trouble in the last few years, especially these outdoors, they call them sheds, on who can fill them. And it's these workhorse old acts from 50 years ago.
Well, here, perfect example.
Or is this counterintuitive? Are they pricing themselves up? Because we've had a couple of acts who've promised to only do $10 a ticket shows, and those shows do sell out. So at some point, do you want to have the big ticket price in a small crowd or a big crowd in a small ticket price?
Well, look at here.
Whatever.
So Paul McCartney spent even he said the tickets were $200 for the ones on the side. $500 for the good seats. That's one show, 20,000 people, say, at the United Center. For $200, Lollapalooza has to have 3 days and 78,000 bands. That's the difference, because our generation did used to go to see what they were fans of collectively one band. Now, if you talk to 520-somethings, they will have 75 different favorite bands. Nobody says, everybody didn't have the wall. We all listened to the wall, right? Well, they don't have that anymore.
Thank you, Len Bramer.
Well, I'm just saying.
312-521-8600.
The communal experience is
gone. It Lynn or Len or what is
it's
it?
It's Lynn, right?
Lynn.
Or Len. Lynn.
I'm asking. You don't know either.
Lynn Bramer. Lynn.
Let's call him.
Lynn. Lynn Bramer.
L-I-N-N. L-I-N.
My guess,
L-I-N-N.
The Ram album may remind him of his wife, Linda. That's why he doesn't do anything off of it in show.
But you made a really good point. Is why, you know, no one is playing George Harrison music anymore, right?
No.
No one's playing John Lennon solo music. Why not, you know?
I've put that out there for years. Who knows how he thinks? And the set list rarely changes. He'll do this set list probably for a couple years before it's remotely changed.
And I'll tell you, that last hour... Or last 40 minutes.
You saw him at Wrigley.
Yeah. It's always, and I'm looking at the set list now, that last 10 songs is pretty much all the same.
You saw it 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's, you know, Live and Let Die, Hey Jude, you know, Get Back, Yesterday, Helter Skelter, Carry That Weight, you know, Golden Slumbers. I mean, it's just
that same
thing. Now, I'm sure the people are out of their minds when they see it.
As you were in Wrigley.
Yeah. But after a while.
But you've seen it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not. I love Paul McCartney. I love the Beatles, but I don't know if I could see him 15 times. Because I don't think he's that great of a, to be honest with you, I don't think he's that great of a performer. He's a great singer. He's got great songs, but I don't think he's a great performer. He looks very
stiff.
Stiff and just almost.
Well, those moments we were kind of making fun of when he does Hey Jude. Now the
that's what I mean.
That's all they all, and Ringo is the worst of them because he's very the peace
Where
sign.
It's super choreographed,
right? And he's pretty stiff on stage.
Well, I saw it in the news last night. You know, at 10 o'clock, and they showed him, and he's introducing, and he's like, "Hello, Chicago." It's like, oh,
boy.
And he's like, "We're gonna have fun tonight." And it's like he didn't say that in Pittsburgh. You know, he just said, "Hello, Pittsburgh." Berg. And everybody's like, ah, and it's like, you know, and it just, you know, he just goes through a shtick. It's not like a...
Yeah, you know. Well, that's working for him.
Oh, hey, he's Paul McCartney.
Leslie, what do you got? Here's a text. Till the end of days, whenever I hear Leslie's voice, I will think of Ghetto Barbie.
She wasn't a ghetto Barbie. She was a knockoff Barbie. She was very stiff, and she had bad hair.
Gary, you must be having memory loss. Traffic reports are useful. Remember, people listen from smartphones hooked into their car. I didn't say we should kibosh them. Leslie said,
I just brought it up for discussion.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. If you want to hear the farm report, I'll call Orion. I'm up for anything. The Stones, $1,500 for the pit.
Wow.
In the orchestra pit, that's
$1,500.
What orchestra pit? Where were they playing?
Well, they probably had, like, the main floor was maybe right in front of the stadium. Because they had a weird, in front of the stage, because they did have a weird configuration, you know, like where I think they had a little stage in the middle there. And so,
yeah.
Because the worst, I think the whole bottom bowl was $600. Like, the ones on the side.
It's a lot of coin for a concert.
It really is.
Of the Catholic variety, now, Ron and I did see him 11, 12 years ago, whatever, and we paid. It was a special deal. I think they were $500 apiece, fifth row, but you got a vegetarian meal and some tchotchkes.
Oh,
which,
how funny.
Yeah.
The Linda McCartney, because remember she used to have like
she had frozen dinners.
She had some frozen dinners before
so
she passed
served,
away.
And I thought, even at $500, this would be nice right now, because there were about, I don't know, 100 people in this room having the little vegetarian dinner. This would be nice if he came in and said hello. And that would make it nice.
Yeah.
That was $500. It's not happening for $1,500.
That was the meal.
But my point of being Catholic, if I'm spending and it was me and my wife, so that's $1,000. And now I could have had what that I could keep for a long time with this $1,000.
Yeah, but
that's a chair.
But
that's
memories.
A really
you
got
cool chair.
I got memories.
You have memories.
That's, but that's yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's a nice chair for the living room that will be there for a long time.
But you got to start collecting memories, Gary. You don't need stuff. Because people are just going to throw that stuff out.
That's why that was the last time I saw him. Because now I'm just going to do memories that don't cost as much.
Have you ever sat in a memory, though? It's just not as yeah. comfortable.
You can't kick your feet up on a memory.
312-521-8600. That is the text number and the phone number. The show is rerun in its entirety, starting at 7 o'clock on WGN.FM, the Super G, the Gear Force, and the podcast comes out a couple hours after the show. Yesterday's show, the podcast was not posted when it should have been. Craig, what is that update, please?
So the podcast should be available now
from yesterday's
show on WGN.FM, or at least on iTunes. It's not on FM yet, but you can get it on iTunes.
This show today will be up quicker, right?
It'll be, yeah, normal. Yesterday was a bit of a confusion.
Yeah, what happened there? I half explained it.
Okay, so I've explained before in the show that the associate producers we have for the station handle all our podcasting for FM, for 87.7, and for old media, all old media. So because Keith used to work on a different show and they didn't podcast for that show, when he sent your request for a podcast in, they ignored it.
Okay. Wow. Keith is
ignored it.
Keith is bringing the power. That's
right.
Good.
No, that's clout.
Good, yeah. So we fixed that issue and made them understand that they are supposed to listen to that.
While your microphone is active, I got to have him tell this story. Leslie had a story about two people, I believe two women, were walking on Lakeshore Drive, the 500 block. That's right around Navy Pier, that area there. And a guy came up to them and hit each woman in the face with a hammer. And they are in critical condition, fair condition, or whatever, right?
Yeah, I know nothing about that, though.
Right. So I'm just setting this up.
Right.
That's bad enough. Because usually when you think of, oh, at least if I'm downtown, Michigan Avenue, whatever, not that there's any real guarantee of that.
No.
But you think they seem to be policing this area because everything else has gone to hell in a handbasket. Until you hear this story, a friend of Craig's.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick it up from here. And this happened two nights ago?
This happened a couple nights ago. He was going to work. He works downtown, too. He works at night. So it's almost midnight. He's on his way
to his job.
To his job. He's on Randolph and Michigan Avenue at a stoplight with one car in front of him. A woman runs up in front of the car and starts yelling at him. And he doesn't know what she's yelling, so he cracks his window and she immediately sticks her hands into the window to try to start attacking him. So while he's dealing with that, another gentleman runs up on the other side, the passenger side of the car, and just starts full-on punching the window to try to shatter it. So he's dealing with both of these things at once. He starts to drive. That was his initial instinct. But then he stops because he doesn't want to hurt these people. Yeah, which is interesting.
That was the first mistake.
Right.
Well, again, we say that because we're not in game conditions. But you're thinking, if I hit the gas, I'm going to run this person over and maybe kill them. Right. Which, now that I hear this, I'm going to run somebody over and kill them if they do this.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah,
it gets even crazier.
Well, so eventually he gets the woman out of his window, but she gets in front of the car to prevent him from keep driving forward, and actually climbs up onto the car and climbs into his sunroof. So she gets inside of his car. And she starts attacking him, shifting the car into park so it stops, you know, doing whatever she can to take control of the car. So he eventually gets her by the neck and throws her from his driver's side door out of the car. But it gives the guy, who is still attacking him too, an opportunity to start punching him in the face through the door. So his arms are in the door, and he's punching the person through the face. And my friend starts fighting back. And then the guy gets mad and says, "Why are you punching me?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's punching him.
Yeah, because you're attacking him.
Right. And so he hits the gas again. They hang on for a little while, and eventually he shakes them and just drives the wrong way down Michigan Avenue. He's on westbound going east to get away enough to avoid these people. And he crashed into a couple of things.
Or southbound going north,
southbound
or whatever, because it's north-south.
Yeah, sorry, southbound going north. But he gets completely away from them, and the front of his car is all messed up because he crashed into a couple things.
Yeah, you're sitting at a stoplight.
Jeez.
Two blocks, three blocks from the Tribune Tower where we're broadcasting from, and all that goes down out of nowhere. And again, we say, yeah, we'd hit the gas, but you're thinking, I'm sure initially, if I do, I'm going to probably kill this person, and what if they're just being chased by somebody and they're trying to get some help? So you're trying to sort all this out.
Yeah.
You don't know there's another guy that's going to start pummeling you that's in concert with her.
And nobody's helping him, though.
Well, again, when you see that going, what you don't know if they have a gun now. What do? You hear these stories, or a knife, or whatever. That's how crazy it is.
So they were obviously trying to hijack his car, right? I mean, that's
carjack him, rob him, what?
That's both? The sense they got that they were trying to take the car.
Yeah.
So.
Man.
Okay.
I mean, could you imagine that's
again, in the area that you assume has some kind of protection and safety. But there is no area that has that. Certainly, at the hour he was there, midnight, all bad things happen for the most part between midnight and 5 a.m.
He refuses to open his sunroof now, by the way. He's never going to ride with it open again.
I have a sunroof, and I've never opened it.
Never.
Why?
I hate the sun.
I don't understand the meaning of it.
The meaning?
What is the meaning
of
a sunroof?
Some air on the top?
Well, but
gives you a little kind of fresh, I'm driving.
I know, then I should buy a convertible. That, to me, that doesn't do anything.
Why do you have it?
Well, it came with the car. I didn't want it.
I want you to seal the sunroof.
Well, because not only that, but, you know, it's a sunroof that doesn't... Well, yeah, I guess it does open all the way. Yeah, I guess there is a button.
You don't know.
I've never... The only time it's ever actually opened is sometime, for some reason, all my windows go down. I don't know if there's, like, some kind of a weird, like...
You don't do anything? They just go down on their own?
Yeah, for some reason, they go down on their own, and that one opens. And then I hear this... And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The sunroof must be open. So I slide the other part open, and there it is. Sure
there
enough.
It's open. But you hate that.
Like, do you have a sunroof on any of your cars?
Yeah.
And you open it?
Yeah, every now and then. I have to say, it depends on, because if the sun's beating down on my face, it could get uncomfortable.
Can
and
you get air?
There's melanoma out there.
But you don't get air,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it blows right in. But
does it?
It depends on your tolerance for air blowing in over the top of your car.
But it's not like you have a convertible. It's not like that kind of feeling.
Some of these new sunroofs go from the front all the way to the back. It's a complete...
Well, that would be
the
cool.
The whole roof opens
all right,
up.
And that might be neat. But, I mean, I think it would be cool. I've never had a convertible. I think it would be kind of cool to have that. I don't know if Chicago is the best place to
to have a convertible. After this,
I
don't want anything. Oh. Everything's up and locked.
Can you imagine someone jumping through? I don't even know.
Well, think about that. These two stunads had a plan because, like we're all thinking, if somebody jumps in the front of your car, you can't decide, and you're not going to run them over for the most part initially. So then this guy, he sees her getting control of the situation, and then he gets into the whole story.
And initially, she creates the distraction
right
by thinking, acting like she needs help. And meanwhile, the other guy's on the other side pounding out the window.
It's amazing that there's two of them, and they actually didn't have a better plan. He was just going to punch the window and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't he have? Why wouldn't you have a hammer or some kind of a mallet?
I'm glad they didn't. My friend would be in a much worse situation, but that wasn't very well planned.
Well, so I'm in Washington, and Washington, for the seat of power in the world, you know, right around the White House is not a very good neighborhood.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
You go away from all the shiny Capitol building and all that, and it's all crazy.
It really is, and there's a lot of homeless, and they're very brazen. And so it's about 8 o'clock, and we're walking down the street going to a restaurant, and this guy, first of all, I see one homeless guy, no exaggeration, pulls down his pants.
Welcome to the Capitol.
Pulls down his pants, his complete pants, squats down,
and does
number two right on the side of a building.
Let's go have dinner.
Right in the side. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. We are
not the White House anymore.
We are in the shadow of the White House. We are five blocks away from the White House, and this guy pulls down his pants.
That's what the government does to us.
Takes a crap right on the... So I'm like, whoa, let's cross the street. So now we cross the street away from that guy. And now we get another guy. So as we cross the street, I just want to get across the street. I'm with my wife and my mother-in-law. And so, of course, we're jaywalking. We're cutting across because I don't want to be near this guy crapping.
Okay.
And so another guy comes. Now he's got... Remember a couple weeks ago you were talking about guys wearing those vests?
Oh, the Day-Glo
vest. You
saw
a lot of guy with the Day-Glo vest.
Day-Glo vest that seems to now be a fashion statement.
Okay, so now this has got to be more than his fashion statement. So he's got one of these Day-Glo vests on, so he looks like he's a city worker, right? So now he's got a credit card, and we're walking, and he's like, hey, man, can you help me? You know, my card, and I'm like... I put my head down. I'm like, can't help you.
Talk to the guy over there.
Get away from me.
And, with his pants down.
Yeah. And I said, can't help you. Put my arm out and says, let's go. And we just walk past him. And he says to me, hey, nice jaywalking.
Okay.
And I'm like,
gotcha.
You're trying to scam me.
Yeah, right.
And now you're giving me a hard
and
time.
I'm jaywalking because that guy's making hard lemonade over on the wall.
Yeah, but I love this. This guy's trying to scam me, and then he pimps me because I'm jaywalking.
Sure.
Yeah, nice jaywalking.
Yeah. Now you're the stooge.
I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like the guy that was pounding Craig's friend. Why are you hitting me?
Yeah.
What? Not only are they nuts, they have some kind of weird logic they're going to try to throw at you.
Then another homeless guy. I mean, this is not far from the White House. I mean, I didn't even want to go out at night, to be honest with you. And so another guy, we're walking to this other restaurant, and so he's got his cup. And so I once again put my face down, put my New York face on, don't bother me. My mother-in-law stops, right? And I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Here's what the guy says. Hey, let her give it to me. She wants to. Don't talk her out of it.
Yeah, you're a jaywalker.
She wants to give it to me. Don't stop her. Don't stop her. So she gives him
how
a
much
buck.
Did she get?
She just gave him a buck, but I mean,
thank you.
But he's like, and then this other guy, and this is what was I, now this,
and this is,
all
in three blocks.
Back. Yeah, he's this is calls comes flooding back. He says, "I need $3." He doesn't even
after she gave him.
No, this is another guy.
Another guy
at another corner.
He has a price.
He's got a price. I need $3 with his cup. I need $3.
And so your mother-in-law goes, okay.
Yeah. No, well, at first, that was the first guy we ever encountered, and I just walked right past him. So I don't know why she decided to give this other guy a buck later. But,
well, he's cheaper.
But he was actually had his price, like $3. Like, if you gave him a buck, he was going to say,
the guy over there is only asking for $1. Very competitive.
It's very
I've
brazen.
Heard that, and it's
very
at
brazen.
Least 20-some years ago, all porn shops about three blocks away. From
now, that I didn't see. Now, there are some, because I was there, say, 25 years ago, and it was worse. You didn't go out.
And this is the nation's capital.
That's right.
If the fish rots from the head back.
The most powerful man in the world lives four blocks away, and I'm getting accosted and seeing guys crap on the street here. And that's where he lives, three blocks away. And it was really tough. I mean, it was literally two blocks away from the White House, and you didn't go. Now they've cleaned up some of that, and you could at least walk around. But at the same time, you can walk around, but clearly we still got accosted by people.
I thought that about Springfield. Again, I have old information on Springfield. When I went down there and saw all these boarded-up buildings, and I'm thinking, this is the state's capital. If this can't function as a town, how are they going to spread the love?
Well, not even that, but I was in Washington, D.C. one time several years ago, and it was it snowed. It was the winter. And it
That's
was
good.
Literally.
If you said in July.
Tom would have had a heart attack. It was an inch of snow. The city shut down. Shut down. Couldn't.
Because they don't get it that often.
But my point is, the president lives here. How could this city be shut down with an inch of snow when the president, he has to get places?
Now you know why everything's screwed up.
They can't
handle that one city. How are they going to handle the whole country?
I was baffled to see Washington, D.C. with a million Secret Service and all these SUVs that weigh 7 tons because they're all lead and they can't drive in the snow.
Yep. That's how it works. And now you know why the whole country's this way.
Man.
And that's why we go to other countries to try to fix them, because we got it down here. We know how to fix everything.
I mean, it's a beautiful city, and you even if you're a communist, you got to walk away patriotic when you walk around Washington, D.C., but there are some major flaws. There's a great place to get a hot dog, apparently. It's like this is like the one spot, or you know, Ben's Chili Bowl or something it's called. But it's like in this horrible neighborhood. And they even, like, you see these guidebooks. They always soften it.
Well, they have to. Otherwise, nobody would come.
This guidebook even says, look, don't go there
don't
after
go there.
3 o'clock.
They have to play.
Don't go after 3 o'clock. Go there and leave.
That's great. In the guidebook.
Even the guidebook says, you might not want to be there after 3 or 4. And if so, you might want to.
Every city has that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I know, again, L.A. has changed a bit downtown. Downtown L.A. Oof. Was another country. Nobody went down there. Everything you know about Los Angeles, if you've never been, is pretty much outside L.A. proper or L.A. downtown. So I'm staying downtown and meeting friends for dinner 3-4 blocks away, get done about 10:30, 11. I think I'll walk back to the hotel. Oh, no. I said it's 3 blocks. Oh, no. You can't walk 3 blocks here. And you're in America. And now when you see these other countries and these people going nuts, you wonder, are we any better?
Well, if you didn't live in Chicago and you didn't know where Englewood or Austin, where all these, you know, these horrible things, and you saw 82 shootings, 14 murders, would you go to Chicago?
That's got to be hurting us.
It's got to be. I was afraid, and I don't even know where those areas are.
With your sunroof closed, you wouldn't go through there.
If you told me to go to Englewood right now, I wouldn't know how to get there.
You don't know where it is.
No, I have an idea. It's on the south side.
You haven't read Devil in the White City?
Yeah, I have. Is that where it is?
It's in that area.
The only reason I even know some of these hot spots is because you've mentioned Roseland, where you used to live.
Right.
And now I'm hearing that. Unfortunately,
See,
I'm hearing that in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, and the weird thing is anybody who's lived in a neighborhood and then moved somewhere else and that neighborhood's gone down, you see these stories and you look at the address, and I swear to God, years ago, they found a body under the porch next door to where we lived.
Oh.
And in the last few months, some murders within a couple blocks where I delivered newspapers.
So you can totally picture that.
Oh, yeah. I have it in my head the way I remember it.
Yeah.
And thinking back then, there was never any doubt that you were in a nice area.
Yes.
And now it's shoot 'em up. Yeah. 312-521-8600. I didn't pick any music, so... Should we play something to get the McCartney?
Yeah, if people are
fizz out there.
Yeah, what do you got? I got everything he has. Here.
You got Monk Berry Moon Delight.
Oh wow!
Got him! Don't you ever?
What album is that on?
That's one of the solo albums.
Which one though?
Was that Ram?
Oh man, I don't think.
Got him.
I mean, I could get it on. I could. Find
it. But you don't know the quality if you get it off of the internet.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I've got Tug of War.
That's one of the favorite things that I can do with Bibble, because he's so cocksure that he's got every song.
Well, Monk, I don't think Paul even knows that song.
But you walk around with, I cannot be.
Here, I have 119.
Stumped on any song.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Is that a Paul McCartney or Paul McCartney and Wings?
That's Paul solo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there's two.
Gotcha.
But wait a minute. Let me see. I've got Wings. I've got Wingspan. Maybe it's on there. No.
Nah, got you.
Yeah, you did. Monk, what is it?
Monk Berry Moon Delight. Ron mentioned it because he likes to think that Paul would do some of those in concert, but he doesn't.
I don't think he's going to do Monk Berry Moon Delight.
Maria.
You want me to
get Hey, how are you?
Yeah, check it out. If the quality's okay, I'll play it. Maria, yeah, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good talking to you, Gary.
Thank you.
I was calling to make a comment about I do some touring downtown Chicago. It's a restaurant tour that we do, and we get a lot of tourists from other cities and other countries. And a couple weekends ago, we had a bunch of people from down south, and one of the ladies, her husband just kept calling and calling and calling her, and she just kept saying, like, oh, no, I'm fine, and everything's good, and no, everything looks fine, and, you know, I asked her, oh, what's going on? She's like, oh, well, my husband's very concerned. He didn't want me to come out here to Chicago. You guys have a lot of killings and a lot of shootings. He's very concerned for my life. And I said, oh, really? And she was from Georgia. And she said that on the news, all they ever talk about is how horrible it is in Chicago and all the mass killings, and it's so dangerous. And we were in downtown Chicago on Michigan Avenue. And she said, no, but it doesn't look bad at all. And I said, like any city, there's bad parts to any city. And there are bad parts here. But it's not, you know, it's not the entire city. It's perfectly safe. But I think the media plays that up a lot, too, making it seem like it's a war zone here when it's really not.
Is it up to people from out of the city and state to know where these areas are? They hear Chicago. They hear 85 shootings. And I think the same if I hear about a city that's had some trouble. I don't know these cities, so where's the bad area? I don't want to spend any time finding out. I'm not going to go. I'll just stop right here.
Right.
But I, absolutely. Again, I assume when I go to New York, I kind of know the area. I know where the bad areas are. I know in Los Angeles and all that. So that's about it. But this city has not, and I've said this many times, every big city has a gang problem. Why are we the ones? Well, and we have more shootings. I understand that. But why can't we corral this? Well, how do other cities do it? Maybe we should take a look at how Camden, New Jersey does it, because they have to have gangs. How Detroit does it. But they're not in the news like we are.
Yeah, there's something to that. Yep.
All right, Maria, thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to hurt if this keeps going, and it appears that it will. That story yesterday about the woman who was shot and killed in the Dan Ryan. Mm-hmm. They closed the Dan Ryan down for hours to do the investigation. I don't know what they were going to learn. I asked yesterday, what do you need to shut the thing down for hours?
Eight hours.
Now I watched the news last night. Did you see the news last night about this woman? Sad story. She left five kids.
She was pregnant, too.
Pregnant. She's 24 years old. Her oldest is 9.
Yeah. So 14.
14 or 15 when she had her first kid.
Jeez. And then had one every year almost after that.
Yeah, see, not that you can't have kids whenever you want to have kids. Free country. I'm not saying that this woman has led to any problem. It's sad that this happened. It's crazy that this happened. But you're getting these kids that are having kids, and now these five kids have no mother. So where are they going to end up in the process of all this?
And Grandpa talked about
the
fact
that... Was she married? No.
Not that anybody...
Well, there was a guy. You mentioned this yesterday, Leslie.
The grandfather talked about the fact that they also... He lost a son last year.
To violence.
Right. So this is his second kid. So he's probably going to be the one raising grandkids to some degree. And
how's that going to turn out, do you think?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And if you think a 15-year-old is capable of raising a kid, well, I'm not on that piece of paper with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that doesn't make any sense. It's really hard to raise a kid properly because of a lot of reasons. Starting when you're still a kid, not going to go well for the most part. And that's what's happening here. Now these cycles of 15-year-olds having kids with no structure, they get dumped into what ends up being a gang probably, and then the whole thing continues for decades. And we're seeing probably what's happened for the last 30 years now coming to really hit us in the head.
The
guy that ran, there was a guy in the car, he ran.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going
with
on.
With her?
Yeah, guy was in the car
there
with her.
There was a woman and a man in the van with her when they got shot at.
So this woman gets shot, he takes off, and I assume they're friends. And who knows why he ran.
And with friends like that,
yeah,
man.
Who knows? Maybe he was the target.
I mean, do we know if this was a gang shooting? We don't know anything, right?
There's so many squirrely things.
That, and then they're looking into all that.
This happened at 4 o'clock in the morning, and yet they were talking about the fact that she was getting ready to start a new job at Ford City the next day.
Why is she out at 4 in the
morning? Exactly.
And who's watching her five kids if she's out at 4 in the morning?
She's out at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, I have questions. The other story was this other woman, I believe it was in Gary, Indiana, that was murdered. Stabbed, choked, whatever, left for and dead. And they talked to her son, and he was smiling about how she's always still with me. Well, it just happened, number one. But I'm thinking if my mother was just murdered, I don't think I'd be talking to Marcella Raymond on Channel 9 and smiling, I feel her spirit. That will happen at some point, hopefully, but not within a few hours. And that seemed odd to me, too, but people process things differently.
Did you bring up the squirrely story about that guy we know who got attacked?
Yeah. Craig told the story, because I started with the story about the two women that were hit in the face with a hammer.
With a hammer. Yeah.
And they're in what kind of condition?
They were taken to the hospital in critical condition. I don't know their current status.
So you're walking down the street, Lakeshore Drive by...
Or serious condition, I guess.
Navy Pier, that area there. I'm not saying it was Navy Pier. It was on Lakeshore around there.
It was on the bike path at Illinois Street.
Yeah. So.
And this is random?
Somebody, and they arrested somebody.
Yeah.
He's
and
just
he
hitting
hit them
people.
In the face with a hammer. Imagine you're just walking and somebody hits you in the face with a hammer.
So this had nothing to do with anything?
No. Jeez. And that's, again, in the area we think is somewhat secure. That's why whenever I see a woman jogging, and you see this on Lakeshore Drive, it's twilight or now been dark for an hour, and you see a woman run down Lakeshore Drive along the lake there by herself, and I'm thinking, hey, I appreciate the fact that you feel secure in this city, but that's not smart.
Okay, so here's a question I have, because I do go to forests and different trails and stuff by myself, but I've been reticent lately to bring my cell phone with. Because on the one hand, I'm thinking it'd be nice to be able to have that contact. If something happened, I could call for help or call my husband, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, if you have it in your hand,
you're a target.
Put it in your
pocket.
And
there's no way to hide it.
You have no pockets?
When you've got running gear on.
Don't they have
walking fast gear.
How about one of those packs?
A little strap. On your leg or
fanny
something?
Pack.
Yeah, fanny pack. I know. I wouldn't go that way either, but...
Do you want to look like a dork or do you want to be safe?
Yeah. You pick. 312-521-8600. Michelle.
Hey, Gary.
Hey.
I talked to you right before you went on vacation. I was out in Germany.
Yes.
And it hit the news out there, too, about Chicago.
Really? And how do they package it in a foreign country like that?
Just talking to, this is my third trip there. We stayed at the same hotel, so you kind of know, some of the staff there. And I did strike up conversation about it. I mean, I was rather embarrassed. And it's, they just say you crazy Americans in the guns.
Yeah. And in Chicago being highlighted because we had 85 shootings in a few days.
Correct. Absolutely. We were out there when that ditch rat in Colorado with the movie theater. And, it's just, it's like the Al Capone era. People just get that perception and that's what it is. And then, it's like you just said, we try talking and saying, well, it's not everywhere. It's in certain parts, but, it's still hard to convey when the media is doing, like Maria said, the caller.
Well, there's reporting. I know they can fan something, don't get me wrong, but they're reporting something that was pretty extraordinary, even for this city, on a weekend. So I don't
Correct.
Know how much they had to fan. They had the numbers. Those are the numbers.
Right. And then even to turn it, I know it's kind of a heavy, dark subject, but turn this around, and then you were talking about, the families and the 15-year-olds raising 15-year-olds. And I teach, and that's exactly what it is. And now they're going to say, well, your evaluation is going to be based on how these kids perform. Well, where I teach, these kids don't have the structure that, my neighborhood does. I teach in a low-income area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're comparing apples and oranges, and I just don't see how it all fits in.
How is a 15-year-old supposed to raise a kid properly? They're still a kid. I mean, think of yourself at 15, and now get a dog and see how much maintenance that is. And then if you can do that, you're not even remotely close to a kid. If you think a dog is a lot of maintenance, don't have a kid, because that's 100 times more. And the dog doesn't go to college.
Absolutely doesn't. Okay. So.
All right. Thank you, Michelle.
All right, Gary.
You're back home now?
For this week, and then I'm heading out to Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay. Call us.
So
from...
my husband travels.
Hold on. And... It's 5 o'clock.
Spartans, what is your profession?
So your husband travels?
For work. And in the summertime, I tag along with them. So one of the perks of teaching.
All right. Check in from around the world because you can hear us.
I will do. I'm telling you, I just love listening to you. So.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
All right, Gary. We'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. This text, I live in L.A. We don't publicize the shootings like Chicago. There's no daily murder count. That doesn't mean they don't happen. I guess they just figure if you don't say anything, it's like the forest and the tree. Do you hear it?
So the media or the newspaper people don't ask the police?
Just ignore it. This one, go to an indoor track, Leslie.
Oh,
or check out Roo Sport. It's a pocket that attaches to your waistband with magnets. It fits iPhone, money, ID, etc. For your
cute.
Running.
A Roo?
Roo Sport. R-O-O Sport.
Like a kangaroo. Okay.
And
thanks.
Let me grab... I'm talking to Eric Childress in just a second about the Ape movie that's opening this weekend. But, Tyler, you're up first.
Hey, Gary. Firstly, thank God they were able to approve that the Cubs thing, because getting anything in the city is just terrible.
Well, unless you're Trump or George Lucas.
That's it. That's it. That's all. But my comment is about the crime. The thing is it's really unfortunate that these people or just any person just gets on the TV. I mean, I understand people from inception are good. But at the same time, when we keep perpetuating the nonsense as far as this person was a good person, first of all, not saying if you're out at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're not a good person. I definitely am out at times at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I'm not out at 4 o'clock in the morning if I have 5 kids and I'm going to work tomorrow.
And I'm pregnant.
And I'm pregnant. And then it's like, how can you say this and then expect people to treat you like this is real? I'm sure the newscaster was like, how I was when I heard it. Like, are you serious or is this for real? So, I mean, and it's what you guys have been saying, and nobody really wants to focus on it, is these kids, they definitely, not alone that they don't have any opportunities, but they have no direction, and the people around them perpetuate the continued nonsense. Not because I hope, it's hard to hope, hard to believe, but that they don't want this to happen, but it's like, if everything is bad on one side, why would I keep going? I don't care if I fall down on the other side. I'm still not going to go that way because it's just like it's not working for you. Why don't you – would you, you know, logically think, let's try something else. Right. I don't care what it is. Something else other than this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how to fix it. I really wish because I'm just a new resident to the city. Purchase this place, and then you see this every day, and everybody's like, come to the city for what? No.
Where are you from, Tyler?
I'm from the Birds. I actually grew up on the west side of Chicago, where my parents moved quickly in the 90s because my old neighborhood is like your old neighborhood. 20 years ago, and I mean, it was still bad. It was bad, but it wasn't what it is today. It's like Detroit. So the west side of Chicago area, like Washington and Costner. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm as you are shocked by all this, and the solution is not going to be easy. I understand that, but you've got to start with 15-year-olds not having kids. I can safely say that that's wrong. I don't care.
I would absolutely agree.
You're a great person at 15. You cannot raise a kid properly.
I would agree 150%.
There you go. Thank you, Tyler.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Eric Childress with the movie review for this week. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Try to follow that now, sir.
Yeah. What can I say now?
Well, you're just going to talk about this new Planet of the Apes movie, right?
Yeah, and although funny enough, you know, once we start talking about it, it does kind of sort of fit into sort of the discussion that you're having, because here's a film that's sort of about, you know, the sort of the uneasy evolution of us all, and, you know, how, you know, two factions in this, you know, movie case of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the case of humans versus apes, and whether or not these two species can coexist with each other. And what this movie's one of the, you know, really great things about this movie, and it sort of has a sort of a similar theme to How to Train Your Dragon 2 from earlier this summer, is the idea that, you know, that there's nothing wrong with, you know, avoiding conflict. There's nothing wrong with avoiding war. If you can negotiate, you know, settle, and you can find some sort of mutual ground and peace, then, you know, maybe the good people, you know, can succeed on either side of the fence, rather than the bad ones, you know, instilling fear in everyone and, you know, leading to catastrophe.
After they rebooted this franchise, the apes are all computerized now, right, as opposed to a guy with a zipper going up the back of the costume?
Right. We don't have actually pretty good makeup effects from back in 1968. So now you do have, you know, computerized apes. But, you know, as, you know, special effects have advanced, you know, obviously throughout the years, and we've seen a lot of these, you know, CGI creatures, you know, for many, many years now. You know, there's something to these apes, just how unremarkably realistic they look, and it's helped along by the motion capture technology that is sort of perfected thanks to actor Andy Serkis, who is responsible for, you know, Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movies. He was, you know, he did the motion capture for King Kong in Peter Jackson's remake, and now is the lead ape Caesar in these apes movies.
His name is Andy Serkis?
Andy Serkis, yes, S-E-R-K-I-S.
Oh, okay.
Not spelled the same.
Yes.
Yeah, because I have a name
different spelling.
And that fits
in. Literally. Yeah.
So that's the only big movie opening this weekend, right?
That's the only big movie opening this weekend, and it's one of the best films of the summer, for certain. You know, we've had a lot of blockbusters this summer, many good ones, as a matter of fact, but this is the one that is really going to sort of leave that real movie-going sense of awe in people. You know, just not just the CGI and the visual effects involving the apes, but actually, you know, there's terrific action in it and a lot of tension between the humans and the apes. But also, sort of, you leave with something to think about. You know, something, you know, how, you know, this movie, you know, could have been avoided in a way. And I think, you know, what they've been doing with this apes franchise now, is really something. They've done something really special with it. They made it a sort of an intelligent blockbuster, and I hope it continues to go.
What do you give it as a rating?
I give it 3.5 out of 4.
And the trailer to this movie, here's a movie that I'm looking forward to seeing. I say that about every movie that I think I'm going to go see, and then I end up not seeing them. This movie called Boyhood. Have you heard about this? I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I saw that at the film festival earlier this year, and I mean, you know what the premise of it is, obviously, is that Richard Linklater has filmed this movie over a course of, I believe it was 12 years, and he, with the same actors, and he would just get together with these people, you know, just once a year, and film sort of a new chapter to this movie. So you literally see this boy in the film, you know, grow up, in front of your eyes. And a lot of people are really sort of, you know, harping on that, you know, how extraordinary a technique that is and whatnot, and what a cool experiment it is. And they're like, oh, nothing ever has anything been done like that before. You know, at which point I just point them in the direction of the Harry Potter movies, which, you know, while might not have been one movie that they did over, you know, 12 years, it kind of essentially was, because they were constantly filming those things year after year. And with Boyhood, you know, we'll review that next week. That's okay. When it opens in Chicago. So I'll give you more about that next week.
The trailer looked pretty interesting, and I like that kind of movie. The whole special effects thing we've talked about, that I just want to see a nice story, and I'm good to go. Although the Jersey Boys, I was going to go, and I don't know.
Yeah,
that did not do what they thought I was going to do. Jersey Boys pretty much mediocre reviews by everybody, and that's where it stayed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was much better as a stage play, you know, where you got that sense of live performance. And on film, it just did not pop the way it did when you're seeing a live stage performance.
Hey, it's no Mamma Mia. That thing came from the stage to film and killed.
A few things are.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Eric Childress on The Dot.
I wonder if this, you know, because they're going to have a different kind of, you know, evolution. You know, the other Planet of the Apes had a sort of an ending, that first one, that famous scene, you know, when he sees the...
Charlton Heston.
Yeah, when he sees the...
Statue of Liberty.
Statue of Liberty. But so now I wonder if they're following that same thing where there will get to a point where there will be a complete society of apes, because that's not... I don't think that's where we're at yet in this one. I think there's...
When do they... Which reboot is this as far as the latest sequence?
This is the second one.
This is the second one.
Yeah, the first one was Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Now, this is Dawn. So the first one is when James Franco was in it, and you saw the way this you know, ape became intelligent. And then there was a big fight, and then there was all this stuff. So now apparently it's 10 years later. But I'm just wondering if they're going to get to the point where we first saw the Planet of the Apes, where they had the whole society.
Right.
The humans were animals.
And those were good costumes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, no computers.
Yeah.
You couldn't see a zipper.
But if you saw, because there's about at least four of those movies. And toward the end, they were really bad. They were bad. They were basically ape masks. But the first one, they really did try to use so you can see the actual people's mouths moving. But toward the end...
Didn't see those.
Some of the main guys may have been okay, but like in the original Planet of the Apes, everybody had really good makeup. But toward the end, they sort of had the main actors had the good makeup, but then the guys in the background basically had ape masks that didn't even move.
You stand out there. Yeah. Hopefully nobody will notice.
And you look like an ape from far away, and that's fine. But that first one was written by Rod Serling, you know.
Twilight Zone.
Screenplay. Yeah. It was based on a book, but he wrote the screenplay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
312-521-8600. Did you find, speaking of monkeys, did you find Monkberry Moon Delight?
Yes, I did.
I don't know the quality because you're playing.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what we said about another song a couple of weeks ago and a bunch of texts. That sounded like crap.
No, this one sounded.
Let's see it. Now, that, again, that's a little oddity.
That's a deep track.
That's a deep track, but if you're at the Chicago, and I don't have any connection to the Chicago Theater, I keep mentioning them. It's not like I'm involved with them financially. Whatever theater seats about 3,000 people, you pick. And then that kind of plays. You're having a good time. He's doing all of the Ram album or whatever album.
Well, that's what was cool about with Steely Dan. Steely Dan did a 2 or 3 night stand at the Chicago Theater.
And
exactly
did that,
what you're
right?
Saying. And they did a thing where I believe it was each city was allowed to go online.
And request songs.
And so they had one song that was pure greatest hit, one album or one night, pure greatest hits. One night they played like the Asia album from top to bottom, and one night.
What's wrong with that?
Was the
That's what the
all
fans
request.
Want.
Yeah, and there was a lot of
because it's
tracks.
Different.
Yeah, an obscure
These
song.
Guys like McCartney and the Stones, they can play those arenas until they don't want to play them anymore. Do something different, you mother. 312-521-8600. Gary Meyer on the Gear Force and Alice on the blower.
Oh, I was just wondering if anyone had seen the movie Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer.
Yes, it opened last week, and it only has limited showings.
What is it? It sounds dirty.
No, it isn't. It's about the end of civilization, and they're on a train that doesn't stop, and it's about the caste system. It's very interesting.
Is it playing at some of these smaller theaters around?
No, it's at the AMC in Lowe's in Woodfield, at the Music Box, and South Barrington, the AMC, but it only has limited showings. This is what I've heard because for the distribution, they wanted to take 20 minutes off of the movie, but the director said no.
How long is it?
What?
How long is it?
Well, it's 2 hours.
Okay. That doesn't sound like it's that bad.
No, because I think some of the other movies that are out are 2.5 hours.
Yeah, the Transformers movie, I think, is 5 hours.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. I definitely think this is definitely a movie Elton John would like.
Because I don't have the capacity to enjoy a caste system movie.
Well, I think you can go see it, too.
Well, thank you.
I definitely think he should go see it, and he can report back to you.
Hey, I've touched old currency. I eat Egyptian ice cream. Come on.
It's very interesting.
But it's one of those movies, I can tell by your description, it's not going to be in 14 screens at the Cineplex.
No, but it's already been released all over Europe, and it'll probably be up for the best movie.
All right, and what is your financial involvement?
How many points do you have on the back end?
Right. You get gross or net points?
No, I don't get anything, but my daughter tells me all this.
Okay. Snowpiercer, if you're up for something a little different than Drain Your Dragon or whatever that one is, Snowpiercer's the bill.
I think so. People like John Hurt are in it, and Tilda Swinton.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Evans, Jamie Bell.
You had me at Tilda.
Tilda Swinton.
I think you would like it.
Okay.
I think it would bring a lot of discussion to the show.
All right. If I'm near Barrington, I'll stop in. That's where it from.
You have to go out of your way to see it.
Well, yeah. From the Tribune Tower, that's where Jesus left his slippers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alice. Appreciate it. Snowpiercer.
There's a lot of movies now about apocalyptics. The world is always ending now. Every movie is about the world ending. We're not in a very happy place right now, are we?
Well, you would like to see Tammy then. Tammy is your cup of tea. Although, I did read where somebody said that when they came out and they were interviewed by somebody about the movie.
About Tammy?
Yeah, they thought it's billed in the trailer as a comedy, and it's Melissa McCarthy, but when the person came out and said it's not really all a comedy.
Oh.
It's kind of serious with this relationship she's having with her grandmother or something.
Yeah.
And all we see is her with the paper bag over her head trying to get the pies. When I see something like that, see, I'm one of those people that thinks, wait, what's the logic? If you're trying to rob someplace, which is what I'm thinking in that scene, why would they let a woman with a bag and
in the door?
Yeah, or she's trying to get over the counter and she can't. Why don't you hit her with a club or something right there? And then she's behind the counter asking for the pies. That didn't make any sense to me. Now, maybe out of context, that's why in context it's perfectly fine.
And then they get into a discussion with her.
Yeah.
Which pie do you want?
See, when it's that goofy, I can't follow it.
Because, you know, it's crazy and as off the wall as Animal House was, you didn't have to suspend belief.
No, that is all believable.
They did. It was outrageous comedy, but it was real.
For those of you who were in that era of Animal House, I remember the build-up to that movie. You could not wait to see that movie.
Unbelievable.
And it paid off in spades.
It still pays off.
Yes.
It still holds
up. But the build-up, it delivered, and it was the comedy for years, standard.
But that's, to me, what makes a good comedy is that it doesn't have to be of that moment.
So outrageous, you're thinking, come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's why.
I mean, it can be outrageous to the point where, yeah, you're getting your yucks because of, but it's got to stay within a certain frame. Otherwise, why? I thought that.
Yeah.
Why would they let her try to get over the? Leslie, did you see the trailer to Tammy?
Tammy.
Yeah.
If she's trying to get over the counter, and if she's robbing the place, which looks like the scene, why wouldn't they right there? And then she's asking for pies, and they're negotiating
pies. They're talking
to
her about pies. It's like this is way too much. Well, how do you see the trailer for that movie Sex Tape? With Cameron Diaz and that Jason Segel, there's a scene, you know, ever since, was it Something About Mary where the dog grabbed, what's his name, by the crotch? You know, Ben Stiller? Remember there was a big joke, one movie where the dog, so now every movie has a dog doing something. This dog gets whipped against a wall and gets knocked out.
And they have to say at the end, that was not a real dog.
And then I guess they show him calling, and then the dog gets, and he's calling 911 on how to revive a dog. And I'm like,
that's always good. People love when animals are tortured in movies.
Yeah, I mean, this dog goes flying against a wall and is knocked out. And then he's calling 911 to revive a dog. And I'm like, this isn't funny. I know that we're all supposed to have these things with
dogs.
What's
that going to do with a sex tape?
I don't even know where that fits in.
Why is it called sex tape?
Well, because they, you know, him and Cameron Diaz make a sex tape for themselves, and he somehow downloads it onto the cloud, and the whole world sees it. So now he's going to try to get it back.
And yet they figure that that dog part is something that's going to rope you in and bring you to the theater.
That's in the trailer.
Because I think it's that whole that Ben Stiller scene several years ago when the dog grabbed him by the crotch, and that became the funny joke.
Yeah, but how is that remotely the same?
Yeah.
I just think that now a dog has to do something goofy. Well, and hurt somebody.
And America's Funniest Home Videos has trained Americans to like when anything happens to a crotch or a pet. Yeah. So they probably the just
Although,
combine the two.
With AFV, as we call it.
AFV?
AFV. America's Funniest Video.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You must really be a fan.
No, well, that's the way they started.
You want the preferred seating at the little that's cocktail the way, table in front?
That's AFV.
Oh, they don't even call it that? Oh, I don't
Pretty
know.
Much.
Oh,
it's really? AFV on, oh. on
it's
all
like
their
It's like when Kentucky
things.
Fried Chicken yeah. decided to...
KFC.
KFC it.
Yeah. If people are getting hurt, there's no problem. Right. Guys going over a platform on a bike and hitting their head,
that's cool.
You do that to an animal, you're going to get mail. But it's okay when people torture each other.
So speaking of violence and animals, did you guys talk about the Planet of the Apes trailer that is coming under fire?
I talked to Eric about the movie, but what's under fire?
Because in the trailer, they're saying it is just too brutal. They show a scene where an ape walks up to a couple of guys who are armed and just starts kind of goofing with them and then grabs their gun and shoots them in cold blood.
But they're not real.
But
you don't know that.
No, the apes aren't real.
But people are.
But in this case, it's the ape who is being super crazy violent against humans. And people are saying that's just too much.
But
and
the trailer's
more
still
importantly,
out there,
the
right?
fact that they included that in the trailer. Yeah, and now we're talking about it. So.
Yeah, but that's the story.
Ta-da.
I mean, then you can't like the movie. The whole story is how the apes rebel against man.
Well,
so.
They want the violence off in the forest somewhere as opposed to...
How does an ape conceal carry? Where does it conceal?
He's not concealing and carrying.
He grabs it from somebody else,
it.
From a human. See? They can't conceal carry.
No.
That's right there.
They need one of those.
We should be more ape-like.
Well, they will later.
Those roo packs so they can keep their
gun. Yeah, roo sport.
Roo sport so they can keep
But in the later versions, they'll start to wear clothes, you know.
Right, so they can conceal
carry. Then they can start to conceal carry.
Ken, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, good.
It's so funny. You're talking about Animal House, and I grew up in that era, and when the movie came out, and I was in college at the time, and now my son is in college, and last year I went down to visit him, and let me tell you, that movie is timeless. It is so dead on. When I went down to visit my son, and it was a surprise visit, which I will never do again, his room was a mess. They had just had a huge party the night before, and the only good thing that came out of it is that, you know, in college now, you come to the door of the frat house, and you buy a cup. So they were charging, my son was charging $5 a cup, and he supplies all the booze, and at the end of the day,
you must be so proud.
He made a lot of money.
Well, there you are. You are proud now. This guy's an entrepreneur.
Well, he's not a business major. That's the sad part about it, but that movie is, I watch it, and when I watched it with my son the very first time, I said, this is what you're going to do down at school. And he was like,
"Yeah,
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, that movie is dead on. Whoever, you know, I can't remember who wrote it, but it
Harold
is
Ramis.
100.
Harold Ramis.
Yep. God rest his soul.
And was it Doug Kenny, too, the guy who died in Hawaii mysteriously?
Yeah, he fell off the
fell off a cliff.
Yeah. There was three guys, I'm not sure, but
yeah,
he was definitely.
Those were two of them.
Because he was the guy, he played Stork, who went, what do you want us to do, you moron?
You moron. And the other great line, those Negroes stole our dates, that to this day still plays well.
Do you mind if I dance with your dates?
You're right. The thing, just talking about it, you laugh.
Yeah. So a warning to all parents, anyone who's going away and their kid tells them they're not partying, they are all lying.
Well, there. That's comforting for $60,000 a year. Thank you, Ken.
See you guys.
Yeah, and I remember seeing it in Schaumburg. I think that's where one of the first screenings was, and must have been a radio station thing where we got tickets or whatever, and the excitement in the lobby. I'll never forget it. It's 35 years ago. And when you came out, you went, it delivered. It was not overhyped. And that guy's right. To this day, you still have those moments that you pull from Animal House.
Oh, there's a line. I mean, there's just classic lines.
And Belushi going through that cafeteria, sucking
I'm
that food
zit.
Out.
Get it?
At one point, John Belushi had the number one movie, number one album, and number one TV show.
Yeah.
Number one movie, album, TV show, Saturday Night Live.
It was 78 because it was the Blues Brothers
all
album.
Once.
Yeah, the Blues Brothers album came
out.
And
he handled it just fine.
Yeah.
And then he felt he had to top it by doing a serious role shortly after that.
See, right away, he decides, well, like a lot of these guys do, I'm a serious actor, too. And he does that. I watched him. I've told that story. I watched him film some of that here in Chicago at the John Hancock Building.
Although
I went to see him because he had been on the show a number of times, and it was pretty interesting to watch all that.
He got he got a lot of flack. Remember Neighbors?
Yeah, that was another one with Dan Aykroyd.
And they got flack because Belushi played the straight line and Aykroyd played. But Belushi was really good in that role. I mean, the sad thing is, he was a good actor, but no one would let him be one because they just wanted him to be Bluto.
Well, that was what was selling
tickets. I mean,
and I must say, I fell for him in Continental Divide. Oh my gosh,
I don't think that did really well.
No, it didn't.
Well, I think he wanted to have a little of that in his mix too, and when that didn't go well, that's when he started to go off into the deep end.
Well, the Blues Brothers was the same kind of thing too, though, where you talked about the excitement. I remember I went to the first night, and it wasn't it wasn't a press thing or anything, but they were actually handing out, when you went to the theater, they were handing out the press kits to the audience, which I had never seen before, just, you know, being
a civilian.
And so it was so cool. You got this. I still have it. You know,
I'm sure you do. In a bin.
Yeah.
Down in the basement.
But it had like all the paper had the little Blues Brothers, you know, with their two faces.
The sunglasses.
Yeah. And it was, and I remember walking out of that, and then you actually played a major role in making that movie popular. No, I mean, you guys used to leave early from your morning show to go see it. You remember that?
The screening started at 10.
I know. It was 10 o'clock, and you're like, we have to leave. But, I mean, that summer was 1980. That was so cool because that movie was another one where there you could feel that was an event when that movie
came
out.
But there were a lot of moments in that movie that didn't make any sense.
No, at all.
And I think there was too much drug usage or something that put them way out into outer space. Case in point, when they went to that Bob's Country Bunker
Bar.
And they show up and they play.
Right.
And then they finish. And then Bob and his guys show up. Why weren't they on time? Why'd they show up at 2 in the morning?
But didn't they do something to make them late?
No. There was nothing that made sense there. And then when the 25 state police cars were chasing them for about an hour.
That was right at the beginning of VCRs. And so when that movie came out, I dubbed a copy off of the other one. They have a copy, and I literally stopped it. And that whole 45 minutes of car chase, I took it out. So my movie jumped from whenever the car chase started till Jailhouse Rock, when they sang Jailhouse Rock at the end. I didn't want to see any more car chases crashing. Yes, it was cool initially to see it crash through the Daily Plaza. Remember that?
Yeah.
But after a while,
and
it was just
Dixie Square Mall, I'll give you that.
But there were some good, I mean, there were some lines, though, that were perennials that you still...
We watched them film that scene with Cab Calloway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in L.A.
Oh, that was in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, Cab Calloway was in L.A.
That was all in L.A. And we were in town, and John invited us. We were up in the crowd. Some of them were having an Orange Julius.
Orange Whip? Free Orange Whip.
That's what we had. Not an Orange Julius.
But, I mean, there were, like I said, that movie, you had at least, there were some lines, even though it wasn't a great movie. It was it was a cool movie. There were moments, I mean, you know, when they did Shake Your Tail Feather, that was pretty cool.
People just in the street knew all the formations
dances
of the dance move. Yeah. Hundreds of people just got into a dance scene, and they all knew what to do.
But they were pretty cool. I mean, look at some of the people that they featured in there. There was Ray Charles. There was Aretha Franklin. There was Johnny Lee Hooker. There was James Brown, Cab Calloway.
Blues Brothers. That's why.
I understand, but they really did. I mean, at least they didn't do it fake.
They were not computer generated black
blues,
people.
My point is they were true to the blues.
Yeah, and they had a hard time after that was done with the studio.
Yeah.
Because of the content, because the studio looked at this
and go, what is this?
Yeah. I mean, we want to get white kids in, they're not going to want to see the blues. Really, that was one of the comments.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember reading that from the studio heads. I don't know. Who's going to go see this? But It lives on. And then Aykroyd did Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah, with John Goodman.
I don't know why he had to do that.
And then he keeps doing that with Jim Belushi. You know, he keeps reviving the Blues Brothers. It's like, you know.
Why are you doing that?
Stop.
You drove Miss Daisy. No, you were her. You were her.
Her son, right?
Son, yeah.
You drove Miss Daisy.
Yeah. You got, and I think he got nominated.
He did. He was good.
For an Academy Award.
Yes, he did. He was good.
Okay, I was going to answer this call, but it just says, Bob wants to stay on hold and listen. Bob, you're welcome. You can stay on for the next 90 minutes. Three orange whips for everybody.
Orange whip. I forgot. That's right. John Candy's in that. That was one of his first movies.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Princess Leia?
What's her name?
Carrie Fisher?
Sure, electronic cigarettes.
I know.
Hello.
Didn't you meet her in a green room or something?
I'm in Star Wars remake.
I had to lose 40 pounds.
She was at Channel 9 when I was doing my pieces. So,
in Lanhamire.
Yes, and so I'm over there to tape my piece, and they said, hey, Carrie Fisher's sitting over by the studio. She's going to go on in a few minutes. So I walked over there, and she's very short.
Oh.
Very tiny woman. But I just, it's one of those things where she's got the electronic cigarette, and she's sitting on this stool and smoking this electronic cigarette, and I'm thinking, this is Princess Leia.
Right.
And I'm trying to make it that in my head. And
she's so not Princess Leia at that point either.
No.
In looks and anything.
No. Looks like, she looks like her mother.
Yeah.
And she's got the cigarette going, and it's, you're right. It's, hey, how you doing?
Hi, doll.
I'm Princess Leia. What's going on? Carrie Fisher and Twiggy. Twiggy was in the Blues Brothers.
Twiggy?
Yeah.
You remember?
What? I do.
What was Twiggy?
She pulled into that gas station, and then I think Dan Aykroyd tried to hit on
her
or something.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Now, there's a, what a cameo. I forgot about Twiggy.
But the coolest moment for me, I think, in that whole era of the movie being filmed in Chicago, we're doing our show from the Carnegie Theater, and John Belushi comes in and stayed on the air with us for about an hour and a half.
Totally remember that.
And he's got on his fingers the Jake tattoo, because they were filming all night and just came in from that evening of shooting, and there it was. And
how cool.
Yeah. And the people went, I mean, we had about 400 or 500 people in there.
I totally remember hearing that show.
Yeah.
I totally remember that. So did you, like when he had that on his fingers, did you point that out?
I think so. I don't remember.
I'm just wondering, would you have known what that?
No, I figured it was all from the movie.
Yeah. That's very cool. That was a cool thing where he had, you know, there was some little, there was, the movie was just very subtle. It was cool. That's my point. It wasn't great, but it, there was coolness in it. Like just that. Remember they had, because he had the fingers on the driving.
Yeah, on the steering wheel.
On the steering wheel. It's, you know.
And seeing Chicago, because we hadn't had a lot of movies filmed here. So to see all of what they did in Chicago, yeah, we got a bump.
Did you ever go to that U.S. Blues Bar?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, a number of times.
Oh, very cool, because that was the other hangout, right?
Yeah.
Now, where was that?
On Wells. What else can I tell you, Grasshopper?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that, because I just remember that. I mean, because you, I mean, you really, if you had to pick a time to be in the in crowd, you picked the, like, a really good time.
Thank you.
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
thank you.
I mean, look at that.
I didn't pick anything. I just happened to be in the right place.
I know, but think about that. I mean, you hung out with John Belushi. I mean, John Belushi could walk down the street and go, hi, Gary.
Yeah, I really,
I mean, that's
trust
amazing.
Trust me, because 2 years before that, I was doing all nights playing Uriah Heep.
I mean,
it wasn't lost on me.
So when you saw Animal House, you were still at what, FYR or YEN?
I was at the Loop.
Oh, in 78?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was doing all nights there.
So you
I
were
was Matthew
at that time, yeah.
I, in fact, went from the movie screening to do the all-night show and play Yes side.
A little fragile.
Sure. I did.
But my point is, think about that. So you were sitting there watching that movie, and 2 years later, you were hanging out with John Belushi.
Yeah.
He was this guy on television in the movies, and then 2 years later, he's saying, hi, Gary.
I know. That's the part that I've always enjoyed about this.
Yeah.
When you get that close to the orb.
And so was that Blues Bar, like, was this a small little dump?
It was two different locations. One in back of a building on Well Street, and then, one was downstairs on Well Street. Yeah, they were just pool tables. And
so did you see other people then that walked
in?
I can't remember. I'm just wondering if there were any, like Bill Murray's or former, like, soon-to-be stars who maybe were friends of theirs who are at Second City who hadn't become stars yet.
How excited he's getting.
Well, I mean, how
I
cool
didn't see
is
any
that?
Of them, no.
No?
I met Bill Murray and...
Tell him you did.
And, right.
Make a stay.
And no, Gilda Radner at another event here in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go out with her? Did you ever ask her out?
No.
Well, I don't know. You seem to ask everybody out.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no, you always
well, that says a lot about me, doesn't
no, no.
it?
No, all these stories, you go, yeah, you know, I sort of almost asked her out one time.
I never said all that. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Animal House. There's one right there. Boom.
0.0.
Dean Wormer.
312-521-8600. Leslie is here. And
so were they your friends?
Security.
No, but, I'm sorry, just real quick. Did they?
Did you know anybody from SCTV?
Did you have a?
They were Canadian, but did you ever go?
No, yeah. But did they have a connect? Did you have a connection, or did like Belushi just listen to you guys, and that's the way it happened? Do you know? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember how it all connected.
I bet you he just listened.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because that would be even cooler. I mean,
so the next John Belushi could be listening right now.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know.
No, but I mean, that would be really cool to not only have been watching this guy 2 years before, but then he becomes a fan of yours in a way. And that's why he shows up.
The moment I had on that level, and it's not going to probably satisfy you. You know who David Sedaris is?
Oh, yeah, the writer, definitely.
I really like his stuff. I saw him on Letterman one night, and he was coming in to sign books at the Borders on State Street within a day or two, and he said on Letterman, at the signings, I have a tip jar. So I thought, well, I have his new book. I'm going to go get it signed. So I stood in line, and I get up to the desk, and he's got the jar, and nobody to that point had put anything in the jar, but I had the coins. I dropped them in the jar. He goes, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, well, I saw you on Letterman, and you said you're going to have a tip jar. And he said, oh, thanks. So he said, what's your name? I said, Gary. And he goes, well, what's your full name? I go, Gary Meyer. And he goes, I used to listen to you and Steve when I lived in Chicago and moved furniture.
Wow.
Yeah, see?
So now that's I'm like,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thought, that's cool.
See, that's the moment
that's
where you're talking
saying.
About where you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, we had that happen when we did the Academy Awards. We'd stand on the red carpet.
Right, right.
And John Malkovich is coming down. Stephen Gary.
Oh, because he's a Steppenwolf, yeah.
Those moments where you go, wow, they listen?
No kidding.
Roger Ebert once said that he likes my traffic reports. Oh. Seriously? It was good for
gave you a thumbs up.
For about 48 hours, I wrote that one. Yeah.
You got a thumbs up.
She wrote that one for 48 hours, she said, the thumbs up.
Yep, baby. All right, Les.
It was a different time.
It was. The Chicago Landmarks Commission has approved the Cubs organization's big Wrigley Field renovation plan. Work on new signage, additional seating, and changes to the clubhouse could begin as early as this fall. However, it's likely the challenges will be coming from adjacent rooftop club owners. Police in suburban Atlanta say results of a toxicology report on a Georgia toddler who died in a hot car have come back negative, but officials won't specify what substances they tested for. The child's father, Justin Harris, faces murder and child cruelty charges in the June 18th death.
I talked about that dog I saw in the car when I was on vacation, and I mentioned after that, before this story, how some kids are left in cars like this one. And I know you have the baby seat in the back sometimes. When you have a newborn, you're not familiar with the fact that you have a child yet, I guess. And that thing is below the rearview mirror, so I'm cutting all the slack. But still.
This one doesn't pass the smell test, though,
in a lot
of ways.
How do you do that? And
it was only a matter of minutes between the time that he put the kid in the seat and then got to work. And what, in the course of 20 minutes, forgot that, or less than that he had the child in the car.
So the child died within 20 minutes.
No. I'm saying that the father had the kid out of the car. They went and grabbed breakfast somewhere.
Oh, okay. So he was familiar with the fact that he had the kid.
So he had had the kid in and out, and then all of a sudden, now he's at work and he's forgotten that he had the child in the car.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a horrendous way to die.
And then I think, didn't they even notice that him and the wife looked on television or looked on the internet to see about how people die in cars?
A lot of questions.
Yeah, there's some some suspicion there.
And Leslie just ran out.
Wow. Well, because she's got
to do something else on another station.
On Old Media.
They left me with one person from the old show, but even that has to be shared. Isn't that nice? We're taking everything else. She has to do double duty in that she's doing now the news and weather and traffic, whereas before she just did the traffic.
Yeah, well, she's a little paranoid, too, because she said, you know, if I miss one of those on Old Media, then they might say, you know, if this is becoming too much of a problem here where you can't juggle this, then she's afraid that they would say, then you have to just keep doing Old Media. So that's why she wants to make sure she gets in there so that there's no problems and they can't, you know. Because this is the future.
It is.
Yeah.
And the future apparently is less personnel. That's what they said they saw in their mirror. One of Detroit's most notorious vehicles sits parked in the back room of a well-known pawn shop. Back in the 90s, you couldn't pick up a newspaper without seeing Dr. Jack Kevorkian and the van he used for several of his assisted suicides. Once dubbed the Deathmobile, the 1970s VW minibus is stored away among snowblowers and chainsaws. Aren't they at Lollapalooza? That's a good band name.
I think
they're
on the side stage.
There's the registration. We have his driver's license, and we have the pictures. Said Les Gold. We have every document to show that this was actually the van that he used for assisted suicide. And apparently he's storing it because the van was purchased for $20,000. He purchased it for $20,000, Les Gold. Sold it for $25,000 about 6 months ago. But it's on layaway at the pawn shop, which is a perfect term for the Deathmobile. Who would want this?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there's some kind of...
Oh, well, obviously there is.
Morbid people
but
out there that...
My point, I know Hitler's car was valuable. I get all that. But I wouldn't want to be around that. The bad juju.
But he didn't kill people in the van, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was
That's
just
why it's called
where...
a Deathmobile. Oh, what do you think, he just made house calls in it?
No. Yeah, I thought this was the van that he drove, that he carried all the, you know, he carried all the machinery that helped kill people. But I don't think I don't know.
They were, I think, yeah, he killed people in the van.
Oh, okay.
That's why I wouldn't want it.
Wow. Oof. I remember seeing the movie, and I remember the van, but I don't remember where they killed the people.
Well, the assisted suicide van.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he had the equipment in the back. He should have just had a Corvair and turned the heat on, because that was we had a Corvair station wagon. You turn the heat on and it would asphyxiate you.
And you had astigmatism.
Astigmatism. We hit an opossum with it. 312-521-8600. That is the phone number and the text number. To look further into space and time than ever before possible, astronomers needed to get a mountaintop out of the way first. The top of Chile's Cerro Armazones Mountain was blasted to rubble to clear the way for the European Southern Observatory's extremely large telescope. Let's just call it that, which will be the world's largest, with a main mirror nearly 128 feet in diameter. Around 1 million tons of rock was shifted in the blast, which helped create a plateau on which to build the huge telescope.
I still don't know how telescopes work. That doesn't make...
Obviously there's a mirror.
Yeah, but I mean, do you understand the way that works? Seriously.
No.
No, I mean, we all use them, but...
Aren't things upside down when
I
you look
know,
at them?
But
why are they upside down?
How could that... look into the sky. I don't understand it. I'm sure it makes sense, but I don't understand how you could just look through this lens and it looks into
the world's largest will be in Chile, if you like that kind of thing.
Well, we have a pretty good one over at the Adler, don't we? I think there's a big telescope over there, isn't there?
We have a problem with lights, though.
Oh, really?
You got to be somewhere far from cities to get a good view.
Yeah.
The much older and smaller Hubble is still up there and has provided a stunning image of 10,000 galaxies of all shapes, sizes, and ages.
Some of those pictures are
I know.
Off
it it makes you your knees weak to know that way out there is some stuff that...
That's doing something.
And then they've got names for them now. And have you ever seen the Eye of God? And it looks like a giant eye out in space.
And that isn't even a whole real estate we have.
No.
That's just what that can see.
Right.
Right. There's more. Yeah. We are so insignificant.
This is a great line when they build it. If you work there, you want to go see the extremely large telescope some night? Yeah, baby. Leslie, you ran out. Did you make your deadline? Because
no?
I've been told that if you don't,
I think you should go to the bathroom.
You will be asked if you can handle both and remove from this show if you can't. Is that true?
She's fearing that.
I'm concerned. Yeah. I'm trying to make everybody happy.
I've become happy.
Well, because let's face it. Yeah, really.
I'm the Monty Python of.
Why?
Of WGN.
It's been 24 hours
scene where
since
they lop off the arms and legs.
Just a flesh wound.
Just a torso. I'm not done yet.
So it's been 24 hours since they made a change on your show.
Yeah.
This is why I just don't want to be the reason.
Yeah, there's still a day and a half left of this week that something else could happen.
So. I mentioned earlier I had a meeting with Dilbert about this producer thing. They threw another producer at me, and I couldn't get the explanation right. Somebody texted and said, you should tape those because the way you describe them, I don't know if you're exaggerating or whatever. I am not exaggerating one iota. And I had a witness today. Craig came in with me.
Oh, you brought
to see how this thing lays out. And he kept talking. All I said was, I didn't want a new producer. All I'm asking is, why are you maybe phasing out this producer for another one? I never asked for one.
I'm happy.
And he came back with some, well, you're going to be doing all this stuff. And
what are you doing?
I don't know. I said, I just want to do this now.
What is all this stuff?
I said to him, Dilbert, just let me get some sea legs with this. I don't want to do anything else right now. I'm just trying to make this work.
Let me unpack my boxes first.
That's what he talked to me initially. I said, yeah, pretty much.
You know, there are certain people on the planet that you just operate on very different planes. And there are times where some people talk and you have no idea what they're really saying.
They are packaging stuff, especially with me, where it is so layered. And by the time they're done, in fact, the first time he approached me Tuesday with this, after about 10 minutes, I go, wait a minute, let me stop. What are you doing? Because he started off with, you're going to host a game show in the Tribune Tower. That's the start of it. And this is what we're going to do. And then you're going to broadcast from the 22nd floor of the Tribune Tower. And there's going to be another producer because you're so involved with stuff that we need two people to tag team each other.
Wow. What are you involved in?
He rolled out stuff. I'm not involved. I'm involved in .fm right now. I got all the boxes unloaded. That's all I can do right now.
With all
due
respect, I'm looking around. I don't see you doing all that much. You know,
Excuse me?
No, what else are you doing the show? What else are you doing?
Nothing.
Right, that's what I mean. You're prepping for your show.
You're focusing on your job.
I think talking for almost exactly 4 hours entirely every day, that's enough.
No, I'm just saying, but I don't. What other projects do you have?
He had projects, and he claims this Keith guy is some kind of bionic man who can only handle the additional projects that I'm going to be given.
Oh.
And that's why they
need... Like Ravinia? Sorry.
No Ravinia. I mean, upstairs on the 22nd
floor? 22nd floor.
Oh, no. Not right now.
That is going to happen.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That
just
leaves
just
the,
that.
He came back.
Soon.
Even though the building only has 21 floors. Yeah. I haven't told you that.
Tom?
Yeah, how you doing, Gary?
Good. What up?
Yeah, speaking of questionable automobiles, there was this guy who restored Hermann Göring's Mercedes staff car, you know, the German, I think he was the head of the German army.
Right.
And he put it on eBay, and it looked just like General Burkhalter's car.
and
eBay said, nah, you know what, we don't want any part of this, and they took it down.
Yeah, and I know Hitler's car was out there for years, and somebody bought it, I think. I just wouldn't want that bad mojo, because everything has energy, bad or good.
No, bad. I don't know.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad energy. I don't want any part of that around me. They say these houses where you hear that people live there and then they got divorced, and that energy's still in the house, and then the next couple gets divorced, there were houses out there that I read about over the years in the Chicago area like that, and it just seems to be embedded in the energy of the home.
I'm not surprised. I'm trying to find some energy around my house, but I don't see it.
You don't have any good, bad, nothing?
Nothing. It's actually pretty neutral.
Okay, that's good.
Sure.
Yeah. You decide. You put the positive energy in there.
Hey, Gary, I've been listening to you guys through the iPad for quite a long time now because the sound was so much better.
Well, thank you.
It was hard to pick up the AM. And so I ran it through the iPad or the computer or whatever I had to do. Okay. And so it was seamless for me to follow you guys. I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. As I mentioned yesterday, if we were still on the AM with the Cubs schedule, we would have been on almost not at all.
Right.
In the last 6 weeks, I was looking at the schedule, you would have... If you liked the show, you would have gotten a half hour there, maybe nothing on some days. They started at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So I guess.
5:30.
All considered, yeah.
5:30 games, yeah.
If we had the doubleheader in there and then today extra innings.
Yeah.
Right. That's
it's
even less.
It's been like that for 4 or 5 weeks. 312-521-8600. Matt?
Boy, that was quick.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
A little Hogan's Heroes trivia for you to start off there, Gary.
All right.
Werner Klemperer agreed to, because you know that Werner Klemperer and John Banner, that is Klink and Schultz, they were both German Jews. And Werner Klemperer agreed to play that part only under the condition that they write the script to make him look like a complete buffoon and that everything he ever tried to do would fail miserably. That was the only way he would play that part.
Well, they accomplished that.
Yeah, because he wanted to, you know, he wanted to make, obviously being a German Jew, he wanted to make the Nazis look as foolish and as awful as he could.
Yeah, I'll never forget the day I'm watching Hogan's Heroes. My father walks in, he looks at that, he goes, "You think that's funny?" Because he was in World War II. And even though they wanted to make the Germans look like buffoons, if you were there, still hard to laugh 20-some years at that point later.
Yeah, it wasn't funny at all. But did you know that it was a toss-up for a while as to which one of Werner Klemperer or John Banner, which one would play which part? They almost cast John Banner as Colonel Klink, you know, the big fat guy, and Werner Klemperer as the bumbling guard.
And now he's the Senate president. John Banner, right?
Right. No. That's John Boner. But also, here's a little Blues Brothers for you. You know the place when they show Twiggy towards the end and she's waiting for, she actually shows up at the motel to wait for Elwood?
Uh-huh.
That is the West Wind Motel. It's out on West Roosevelt Road in West Chicago.
Still there?
Yeah, it's still there. I think it's an SRO now. You know, transient people live there. But, yeah, it's still a going motel. The only thing that's missing is there's no phone booth out in front of it like there used to be.
Oh, then I'm not going to go see it. I mean, I have to have it authentic.
Yeah, really. And, by the way, you know, concerning the whole .fm thing in the future, you know what Yogi Berra said, Gary?
What's that?
The future ain't what it used to be.
That's right. Thank you, Matt. And Leslie's here. You want to wait till after that? You have a few minutes, or do you have? Yeah, you just did stuff, didn't you?
Yeah. I did half a report.
We got the 6 o'clock.
I'll get you something fresh, too.
It's the top of the hour.
Spartans! What is your profession?
And this text at 312-521-8600. I joined today's broadcast. Has there been any mention of when your 7914 podcast will be posted? That's from Tony. Yeah, I found out, as I mentioned earlier, that the show from yesterday wasn't podcast because apparently Kreef didn't have the proper handshake to the guy who would post them.
He didn't have the secret word.
Something. Is it up yet? Do we know? Because we said a few hours ago it would be up. What kind of chimps do they have working back there that do that?
So I talked to one associate producer who was here from noon to 5, and he said he was going to do it, and then he left at 5, so he's gone. And then the other guy that came in at 5 asked me what I was talking about, so I explained it to him.
Wow.
And he said that he'll get right on it, and it's now 6. And
okay. How long? What do they have to do? Just take the music out?
They take the music and Leslie's traffic reports out, so it's just your content. They take the commercials out, too.
They're not going to take – there were no commercials yesterday,
right,
so
there were none,
that
yeah.
should make it easier.
Well,
they're not apparently. Taking that song out with Tom, are they? Did you,
no.
You instruct
so
them to not
that
do that?
That one's going to be kept, and if it gets taken out, I'll put it back in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now what's the ETA?
Every time I go over there, they say they're doing it right now. Yeah. We could have finished this if we
had
done
it on our own. So what happens to today's show, then?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to get done, I hope.
Now that I have two producers, I would imagine you can both double-team this guy.
We got a lot to do back here, Gary.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Please try to get
yes,
that
sir.
Going.
Yes, sir.
So when you said, according to this text, you'd be on the stream during weekday Cubs games back when you were on AM, turns out that was true. I didn't think it was to this extent, but
didn't think it'd be a whole show.
That plan was to do the show when the Cubs were preempting me one day a week
right.
when that happened.
Not for the rest of your life.
Not for ever. Be careful what you wish for, as they say. 312-521-8600.
You want to do that opening?
Oh, we didn't do that yet.
No.
Yeah. Got it?
Testing on.
Go. This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
It's the 6 o'clock hour!
Good evening, Finland and Joliet. A well-known American Indian artist had a rifle pointed at his head
what?
By New Mexico police
what?
As he cleaned dog poop out of his car.
Seriously?
What?
Here's what happened.
Okay.
Maria Marcus reported a burglary in progress at her Santa Fe home because Mateo Romero pulled into Maria's driveway after his Shih Tzu took a Shih Tzu in his car.
Oh, dear.
Maria boxed Mateo in her driveway. Mateo tried to explain he was just cleaning out dog poop.
And 50 other lines to get into a girl's pants.
Police arrived and pointed a gun. Mateo was released when everyone realized what happened.
You don't think this can happen to you?
Hey, what's in the bag?
Dog poop.
Step away from the crap.
Let's move on. Let's groove on.
A decorative poster that would supposedly make a great addition to your home or office was pulled from Walmart's online listings.
Hmm.
The poster featured the front gate of the Nazi concentration camp, Dachau,
oops.
With the slogan, "Work makes you free." Why stop there? How about a poster with a picture of a prisoner being lethally injected with the slogan, "Tired of the man sticking it to you?"
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Gary Meyer on the Care Force, WGN.FM, Chicago, the Super G. Those stories and more on 240 minutes. A little more to the stories. The guy that was cleaning the dog waste out of his car,
the Shih Tzu,
he pulled into this woman's driveway. And I'm thinking, why did you need to pull into somebody's driveway to clean out the car? Just pull over to the side of the road. I don't know if they had no curbs or whatever in Santa Fe. I've been there. I think they
do
have.
Do they have curbs?
Curbs, yeah. So he's cleaning the mess out, and she pulls up, sees him in this SUV doing something in the car. So she thinks he just got robbed. So she blocks his car and calls the police. They come, put a gun to his head. Now, this guy is a well-known American Indian artist. This Mateo Romero, and they finally cleared it all up, but I'm just going to pull over. I don't need to go on anybody's driveway. I would be afraid anyway, because people all have guns now, and they're going to come out and start blasting.
I always feel even weird. Do you ever have to make a U-turn, and you pull up on
someone's
driveway?
You always hope they're not looking out the window?
Yeah, I always feel very uncomfortable when I do that. And when I see someone do it on mine, I go, hey,
who is that?
Where are you going?
What are you doing here? And that's not usually the case because you never look out the front window. The shades are drawn.
It's true.
And then this poster that was offered online through Walmart, as I mentioned, it was the front gate of a Nazi concentration camp. And you've got the people, as you know them from all these documentaries and things you've seen, in those striped prison uniforms and the hats, and they're standing by the barbed wire fence. And the slogan, which is in German, Arbeit macht frei, means work makes you free. Now, why you'd want that in your office or home to inspire you, I don't know. But then it says here, Sears and Amazon also removed the poster from sale. One Sears customer was shocked to see that a list of similar products to the concentration camp poster included double wall ovens. Sears explained that one by saying those are special sale items that currently appear on millions of product pages. While clearly unintentional, we sincerely apologize for the proximity of the positioning. Why you'd carry that poster in the first place, I'm not sure.
You go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., which is...
Did you do that when you were there?
Yeah, and it's pretty...
Well, you don't have to say it. I mean, I don't even know if I could go.
Yeah, it's...
This is only 70 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And when you see how quickly and how enormous the Nazi takeover of land was in Europe, it's really scary. This was really close to going the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, he just steamrolled over Europe. I mean, I don't know if it would have been easy to take over us, but he steamrolled over Europe. That was nothing. But the most moving part of this is they have all these shoes.
Yeah, I've seen that picture.
Oh, it's just a big pile of shoes. And it's amazing how this one little inanimate object in that
context
is unbelievable. There's just this huge pile of shoes that you know belong to somebody, and they never got those shoes back. And it's like, whoa. And it's right toward the end, almost when you're finished.
Yeah.
And that's, right. They leave you with that. It's like, whew.
Again, it's only 70-some years ago. You think, oh, this happened when people were really uncivilized? No, this was civilized, quote-unquote, society.
Well, what's civilized right now? What's going on in the world? What, are we any more civilized? Look at the...
Yeah, it's still going on in some respects.
Maybe not on a mass scale like that, but certainly in little pockets everywhere.
A woman in Washington State is on a 30-day mission to eat nothing but pet food.
Oof.
Dorothy Hunter embarked on the diet starting last month while stocking shelves at her business, Paws Natural Pet Emporium. She said, I didn't have time to get a snack, so I grabbed a bag of treats off the counter, and I was like, wow, you know, these read better than normal people treats. So I started eating the treats, and I was like, you know, I could do this for 30 days. I've also been doing our oven-baked blueberry treats as well as freeze-dried green beans and carrots. I'm even doing some canned cat food. One is a succulent chicken, and it actually tastes really good. So I'm really happy with that one. I do...
That is not possible.
I don't do raw bones or meat products like that, or the frozen, because I'm just not into raw.
There's no way.
She's lost 2 pounds eating pet food.
For how long?
She's going to do it for 30 days. Ugh. And she's... I don't know. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, she started it... June 19th, so...
2 pounds?
Huh?
It's almost a month. She's only lost 2 pounds.
I don't even know if that was her plan, but it's a bonus.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. I thought this was a diet or some sort.
An employee has joined her.
Oh.
And she's been feeding the pet food to her kids as well.
Oh.
My kids love the dog treats as well.
How did they not take the kid away from her?
Well, why?
Because you're feeding your kid dog food and pet food. Is that normal?
They even told their teachers, who then asked me if it was true, everything is labeled here so you know what you're buying, and you're buying nutrition. Like human food, pet food is required to be compliant with food additive regulations and be free of pathogens.
So some kids get Fritos and some kids get Friskies.
There's nothing, I guess, that would lead them to take her kids away for that.
Well, the smell alone, believe me. We used to feed our cat the hard food, so that didn't smell at all. But toward the end of her life, she needed the soft food. And, oh, my God, when you opened up that can, I don't care what it was not good, and it could not taste good.
It does smell bad whenever I've
It's awful.
Been around it.
It's awful. But it can't taste good.
The cats and the dogs, they love it.
Well,
they must
do they
love
know?
It.
Of course, they're just hungry.
Well, they sniff each other's butt, too, yeah, so I that's mean, they, about as much as it goes.
I mean, they really, I mean, I wonder, do they have taste buds? Because they'll eat anything. You know, I mean that is, that's, you know, they can't be discerning. We're discerning.
All right, maybe they don't have taste buds.
I don't know, because that's not good.
Remember that company, Pet Coke? And I thought initially it was a soda for pets, but it's that whatever they do, right. Pet Coke.
With the coal or something, right?
Yeah. Pet Coke. I thought, wow. Somebody should come out with a soda for pets.
Sharks?
Sharks? It's soda for cats and dogs.
You know, the animal pet industry is $7 billion. If we can get 1% of that with this Pet Coke.
How about pet cigarettes? I mean, what do they got to lose? Right? I mean, the electronic ones.
Yeah, right.
So they're safer. Because they always want, you're right, they want to always eat.
Right, they're always eating anything.
They must want something in their mouth a lot. So maybe this, if they could just sit there and puff on this, if that three-year-old Malaysian kid can do it.
And how would they actually puff with their hand? I mean, you just did the puffing thing with your hand.
That
might be kind
of
difficult. They have hooves.
Now, I have to have some device that holds the cigarette.
Around
that
their head.
Put it around their head, yeah.
Like a football helmet.
When you take them out, as they go on their walk, they can puff on a cigarette, too.
Put a little helmet on them.
Sure.
A little hat, and then it has a little holder for the cigarette.
Now, don't you go stealing that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you've already got that one patented.
That's mine. Don't you dare.
And then, of course, the people that are really ritzy, they would get their dogs and cats the cigarette holder. So they'd have the long cigarette.
For the high line pet owners. They have taste buds, and many dogs and cats can be picky eaters.
Really? My cat.
It's also labeled not for human consumption. Yeah. I do like milk bone dog biscuits, though.
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, those things are as hard as a rock. How are you eating those?
Well, I don't know. I don't care to know.
You have to soak them like they do with the extreme eating.
Gary, all that talk about Auntie M pretzels, I dreamed last night that I flew to Arkansas and got some.
Arkansas?
Got them here.
Go to O'Hare. Go.
Leave your producers alone. They are planning the remote on the 22nd floor, which is either this Friday or in 2 weeks. Could be either or either. On my Facebook page, there's a video. Have you seen this? This F-16 jet flying about 3 feet over people's heads?
Oh, yeah. You showed me that the other day.
This video of a Turkish F-16 flying dangerously close to onlookers at an air show.
They got their money's worth.
Will make you think, I was glad I wasn't there.
How do those people not get knocked over?
Well, nobody did, as far as I could see. But this thing, I'm not exaggerating, is maybe 4 to 5 feet above the people that it's flying over.
And it's one of those Thunderbird-type...
Yeah, F-16.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
Bingo,
it's
biffo.
It's not just one of those old-fashioned
all
planes.
Anything that starts with an F in a plane is what you know to be that.
Those, fast and
those
scary.
Jet fighters.
Yeah.
It starts with... It has to. If it's F, whatever. Meaning freaking fast. Like Jimmy John's. But go check it out if you haven't seen it. It's on my Facebook page, The Gary Meyer Show.
And what I'm surprised is the people are not really running.
Well, by the time you realize how low it is,
it might be right
it's already
you.
Over you. And you're now, after the reaction, somebody's still taping, and the reaction is, damn, that was close.
I mean, they easily could have almost touched the wheel.
Oh, yeah. It's that close.
Yeah.
Milk bones with milk.
Oh,
if you
try an Oreo. Much better. Double stuff.
All canned cat and dog food by law has to be safe for humans to eat. Yeah, you hear these stories where people, older people, can't afford food, real food, so they are eating dog and cat food.
I mean, safe
for you. Is it a lot cheaper?
Well, I think it's only a couple of, it's like 45, 50. I mean, I don't know. Nowadays, I don't remember. Because ours was different because it was kind of this low diabetic thing. But I think if you go into the store, it's probably a buck a can. So So it's cheap. But we're not talking about safety. We're talking about taste. Why would you want to be eating this?
Because you have to for whatever reason. Or in this woman's case, she's probably trying to just promote her pet store.
Yeah. Ugh. Her breath has to be awful. Her breath has to be because our cat's breath was terrible. And they're used to eating that. So I can only imagine what a human's breath has to get, because that's not even, they're not used to that. Oh.
This is out of Minneapolis. A man told police he was drinking and must have been sleepwalking in connection to reports that a man was on the roof of a car naked. Callers told police they saw a naked man on top of a car in a parking lot. When police got to the scene, they learned the man was running around naked. When officers went to his house, they saw him through the front door sleeping on the couch in shorts. The man said he didn't remember anything about being naked. So that's a good excuse. You slept walked in the nude.
I don't remember.
I don't. I must have been sleepwalking.
What is it about guys that like to? They like more guys seem to like to expose themselves than women.
Can't tell you why.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in our DNA, but
a physical education teacher in Florida has been suspended after allegedly giving students twerking lessons. Courtney Spruill teaches PE. Suspended 15 days without pay. The tush-shaking tips allegedly occurred in May during a party for the girls' soccer team that took place at the house of one of the players. She's the team coach.
Uh-oh.
Spruill drank vodka and twerked
nice.
On players. And she brought a housewarming gift of vodka.
This is high school, right?
She also got a lap dance from one of the students at the party.
What the heck's going on here?
Well, 15 days of suspension.
Oh.
The thing about teachers, it was always odd to see them outside of the classroom, certainly twerking. You don't want that image. And drinking vodka. You had some weird feel about your teachers.
It was weird enough to see them in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Could you imagine seeing them twerking?
I don't know why that was, but they always looked out of place outside the classroom.
Well, they weren't dressed the same.
Exactly.
They had a little more informal garb on, you know, instead of a dress, whatever they may have worn. They had jeans or a pantsuit.
But, right, you can't put them in real life for some reason. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I understand, but that's the way
it is. Well, if you ever met their husband or their boyfriends, that was freaky.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa.
Then you had to imagine other things that they did, and right. Now they're standing in front of you every day in the classroom.
Right.
Phil?
Yes, sir. Gary.
What
Jim,
up?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to comment on the dog food thing. A friend of mine used to work at Pedigree, and that was just a short while ago, but he had to inspect some of the factories. And in fact, there was one, I'm not sure exactly where it was at. It was somewhere downstate Illinois. And he told me he went in there, and that place was cleaner than you could not even imagine. They had carts of chicken and corn and stuff come in, and they would reject it and throw it away. So I actually have tried some of their dog food, not that I would eat it for dinner, but just out of curiosity, and really it's not that bad.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
If somebody handed it to you and didn't say it was dog food, would you know that it's different in some way?
Not really. Not really. They've got an apple-flavored dry food, and I know Jim commented on, you know, how hard it is and all that. It actually tastes like apple. To the human mouth, it tastes like apple. In fact, they have in Nashville, it's Mars Corporation that owns Pedigree, their headquarters. It's south of Nashville. I'm not correct on what town it is, but it's right in that area. They would actually have dishes of dog food that you could walk through. I've been to the headquarters there, and you can snack on it. It's unbelievable.
All right. Well, I will not eat it based on your recommendation, but I'll take your word for it.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You're doing great.
Thanks, Phil.
Well, you pour the water in there, and it makes that nice gravy.
Yeah.
And then a little chuck wagon comes out of your...
So you guys making retirement plans? What's going on?
Yeah. On Social Security, you hear, well, that's where you're going to be eating.
Some woman's on some diet. Where
30 days, she's going to eat. Nothing but pet food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super organic.
Ugh. I mean, you know about cat food. I mean, look at how bad their breath is.
Oh.
Could you imagine eating that?
I've actually made the mistake of licking the fork after it. Have you ever done that?
Why would that be? How would you make a mistake?
Yeah, what is that?
Because it's one of those things where you put it on a dish, and it's a regular-looking dish, and just out of habit, you... Yeah.
And how bad was
it? It's awful. Oh, it's just awful. Awful, awful, awful.
Oh.
But they're, again... Their taste buds must be completely rearranged where that kind of stuff is just good eating. Because
you've seen what they've done with their own hineys.
That's what I mean. So I guess they are programmed to lick everything and don't worry about it.
Well, they just want to eat. You know, they just have the survival instinct. We have this goofy brain that gives us all this ability to discern. Their brain is like, I'm hungry.
And I'll eat anything. Maybe it's not their taste buds. Maybe it's their smell. Maybe that's dulled.
No.
And that's how they can plow into that stuff.
Yeah. You open that can and it's like, oof.
Oofa.
Oofa.
Ooh. Although I want to say I saw a documentary about the pet food industry, and they were saying that when it boils right down to it, the perfect food for a cat is mouse. It's got all the vitamins and nutrients.
And that's why they eat them.
And, yeah, they're after all these millennia, that's the perfect food.
Well, when you think about it, wild animals, you see them tearing apart other animals, a lion tearing apart a zebra, and everything's good. It's all edible.
Leave the bones. I'll eat the bones.
Yeah, leave the cannoli. But they'll go through everything.
Take the liver. Leave the cannoli.
So you have to be, because you're out in the wild. What are you going to do?
Right.
Be discerning?
And you never know. When you're going to eat again. I mean, that's why they always say, well, if you're on a diet, don't starve yourself. Because your body, going back to the wild kingdom, doesn't know if you'll ever eat again. So it stores the food.
Right. And not going to burn the
calories. It's not going to burn those calories by starving. It's going to keep those calories because it's like, hey, I might not eat for three more weeks. So that doesn't really help you.
Explain to me why some people like blue cheese. I hate blue cheese.
Oh, I love blue cheese.
I know.
Oh, I love it.
Would you like some blue cheese crumbles?
Oh,
God, no.
Yes.
Hate blue cheese.
Oh, really? Oh, let's face it. All cheese is mold.
Yeah, but blue cheese, I like cheese.
Blue cheese is a fine cheese compared to a cheese. Okay, speaking of cats and cheese at the same time, John Landecker's brother.
That's his real name.
Was a cheese connoisseur, and he bought this cheese called Stinking Bishop. And it smells really bad. And so you think, well, Stinking Bishop, it's probably just the smell, and it tastes really awesome.
A lot of cheese smells bad.
That's Cardinal George's nickname.
It tasted the way a dirty cat box smells. Ugh. And they put that in their mouth. But it was
does it taste
awful.
Good, though?
And no. Even taste it awful. Bad. Horrible. And that's what I was thinking. So, okay, maybe it's just your sensory confusion. No, it smelled awful, it tasted awful, and people still put it in their mouth.
But blue cheese does smell bad, but yet it tastes.
But it tastes, yeah.
No. But you don't like it.
No. Hate it. I mean, I really hate blue cheese.
You don't like Roquefort?
Roquefort?
Roquefort dressing.
What do you have on your Cobb salad?
Right.
It depends on my mood. I love bacon, but I've had bacon recently, so the... Other day, when I was on vacation, I ordered a cob.
You had a cobber?
Right.
I love Cobb salad.
Here I go. No corn, no blue cheese, no bacon, no onions. And by the time I...
It's not a Cobb salad.
There's just a bunch of lettuce.
Yeah, it's an iceberg wedge.
But I just didn't want all that.
You really said none of that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
A Cobb. They have the most ridiculous Cobb salad at the Hard Rock Cafe. It's falling over the... And it's not mixed. So, like, everything is in a row, which is ridiculous.
It's a mega cob.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's a great salad, but you can't eat it because once you have to serve it or, like, mix it, everything falls off. And then half of the stuff is on the table. You don't want to eat that. And so it's like, okay, this looks nice as a presentation, but I can't eat it.
Yeah. Why do they do these giant things for one person?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's why we have the wide wheelchairs.
You know what's cool, though, is we're finding more and more restaurants have no problem with you splitting a salad and splitting an entree, and that's closer to the amount of food that I can handle.
Yeah, even when it's split sometimes, you're thinking, I couldn't eat any more than this. This is half.
What would I do with the whole serving? And it's never as good when you take it home and reheat it. So
Maggiano's asks you. You want a half serving or a full serving?
Now, some of these meatballs are the size of a baby's head.
And they even tell you, you don't want a full. You don't want a full. It's like, why do you have it? Who wants it?
I can carve the meatball for Halloween. It's so big. These meatballs. Some of these places have.
Ball o' lantern.
What's that place? It's not Maggiano's. They are known for their giant meatballs. There's one, I think, around here.
It's another one of those Italian family style.
Right, exactly.
Bocca di Beppo.
Yes.
Bocca di Beppo.
Ever been there?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Okay, everything's served family style. In my family, everybody wants something different.
I hate family style.
Yeah, so what's the point? Because I want fish, he wants red sauce, she wants white sauce.
Plus, I want everything on my own plate. I want my own plate.
Yeah,
I don't want to pass this.
But the meatball's there, right? I haven't been in a while. But
it's a 16-inch clincher.
Exactly. And is that for 1, 2, 60? How many people can eat that thing?
I tell you, okay, Chicago, I don't know. Well, that's a franchise, though. But Chicago loves the portions. We have to, not only does it, but look at how much they give you. But so what? Half of it is wasted. You don't eat it. Like Leslie said, you take it home. It's never as good.
Right.
But you got a big shopping bag full of this stuff that you feel guilty about throwing away.
This one place we go to, they have a nacho platter, which is really good. Well, so we always get that if I go with this friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So we got the nacho platter. Then I realized there was so much. There's just two of us, and it's huge. Then I thought, I don't want an entree. So I got the fried zucchini my entree.
Yeah.
There were, I think, 12 pieces, and they're big.
the whole giant zucchini.
So now I'm eating the zucchini. And I get through half of them, and I thought, I really want, but I don't want to eat anymore.
Right.
I can't eat anymore. So I got a wrap mop. Then I brought them back home, and I said to my mother-in-law, if you want some zucchini, who's going to eat zucchini the next day?
Yeah, no. And then
what's the name of my new movie?
And you can't put that in the microwave. You're going to have to either refry it, and then it's going to be even worse.
Try to bake
Do you like zucchini, fried zucchini?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
If you find a place that has fried zucchini, go there and sit there and have fun.
Where is this?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I thought you knew that. I thought the place, was this place good?
Yeah, but that's here. Who had great, and I haven't been there in a while, Smith and Walensky had incredible zucchini. It's one of those things where and then they took it off the menu. And I haven't been back since.
I'm trying to think where it would be a good, because we usually do get that. But nothing's really knocked me out.
Yeah, you think, how can you screw up fried zucchini?
But you can.
But there are some places that get it exactly right.
If it's too thick, it's not good.
Right.
If it's too thin, it's not. It's got to be
just right.
Just the right, slice there and wedge.
312-521-8600. Where can I get some good fried zucchini?
Yeah. Do you ever have the fried pickles?
No.
Oh, those are good.
I'm still thinking about those corn dogs and pretzel wrap at Aunt Diana's
Auntie Annie's. Yeah, that thing too. Because I was so mad too. Because my wife said, I'm going to go to Auntie Annie's. We were in the airport. So I'm going to go to Auntie Annie's. I said, no, I don't want anything. So then she comes back with one of those.
The corn dog.
Yeah. No, with the pretzel. And now she's eating, and I'm looking at that. I'm like, so then I'm like, maybe I'll, let me see. So I go, where is this? And I walk over there. Now I see the hot dog thing. So then I look at that, and I sit back down, and then my mother-in-law comes back, and she said, I bought you one of these pretzels. And I'm like, I don't want the pretzel. I want that hot dog. But now what am I going to do? And so I was so mad because it was on that roller, and it was just sitting there rolling.
Rolling with your name on it.
It looked so good. And it wasn't chintzy either. It was a big, long dog, and it was – the pretzel around it was really puffy.
When I went up to the counter at the airport to get my pretzel, the woman who works behind the counter was sweeping the floor, and she was sweeping whatever was on the floor onto a flap of cardboard.
Oh.
And I thought, there was another employee, I tried to get her attention, because I thought, wait, she's going to see me put all that down and come and give me my pretzel.
And I want to touch
her. But she at least put gloves on.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't have a A dustpan at an Aunt Diane's?
Auntie Annie's. Well, now to hear that.
Every time I hear that, I think of Auntie Niemi.
He should open up something. He's got a perfect name for it.
Well, now that you tell me that she was sweeping up crumbs with a box, I would not have taken the pretzels out of the garbage.
That's
now,
what I mean.
Now the sanitary process at that whole place is under question. So now I probably wouldn't have.
So they put the...
But at least she was sweeping. Hey, give her that.
Corn dog, they wrap it with pretzel, and then they give you a tub of mustard.
Oh, yeah, they had condiments there, It had to be unbelievable.
Is that all they sell, the corn dogs and the pretzels and the lemonade?
I think... No, because I had a big icy, you know, with the polar bear?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I had a nice blueberry icy.
I love blueberry.
Yeah, it's good. Really good. But no, I think there's another kind of pouch thing. I think they might have some kind of an apple thing as well.
You've all tried the flat tiza at Subway?
No.
They're pretty good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
You said that. I don't really go to Subway that often. But you like that, huh?
Yeah.
They can heat
that thing up in a few seconds.
And what do you get anything on it?
Yeah, they have all kinds of different toppings like your regular pizza.
I should try that. It does look good.
The podcast from yesterday's show is up. I've just been told and ready to go. At least the first half hour, I think I can guarantee you will be pleased. That's the song with Tom Skilling.
Of course.
But it's not
the first 45 minutes.
It's not for the squeamish.
No.
It's not for people who are put off by strong language.
It was spicy.
If you like weak language, this is not for you.
No, it's spicy.
Spicy, sporty, salty, screwy, slutty. Was there a Honeymooners episode where Cramden says, hey, this is dog food?
Yeah, it's a great episode. Alice gets a dog, and she doesn't tell Ralph. And so she's got the dog food in the refrigerator. So Norton comes by before Ralph comes home, and he pulls this thing out, and there's some crackers there. And so he starts eating it. And he's like, wow. So Ralph comes in, and he goes, you know, I got to tell you. He goes, you know, my wife Trixie, she can't cook. He says, this is delicious, what your wife made here. So Ralph tastes it, and he goes, this is great. I never tasted this before. So then he gets into this big scheme that he's going to get his boss to invest in it. So he calls it, his boss's name is Mr. Marshall, so it's going to be called Cram Mars Delicious Mystery Appetizer. So he goes then the next day to his boss's office, and he puts it down for his boss and all these other guys, and they're all eating it. Like, hey, you know, this could be a very popular thing. And so this one guy goes, you know, I never tasted anything like it before, but the smell is familiar. And he goes, hey, wait a minute. This is dog food. So the dog, you know, the boss spits it out, and he goes, dog food? He goes, we don't even have a dog. And he goes, it better not be. He goes, let me go call Tommy. Or, you know, he raises dogs. So this other guy walks in the office, and he goes, what is that? And he goes, should know. Been using it for years. It's dog food. So then, you know, the whole thing.
Fun ensues.
Yeah. That's a classic episode. Because then Ralph comes home, and he goes, Alice's mother did this to me. She wanted to come home and make me a tidbit. You know, he thinks that, because he doesn't know they have a dog. And then she springs it on him. But.
Best fried zucchini at the Assembly. Restaurant in Hoffman Estates.
The Assembly.
Anything nearer the Tribune Tower?
Anything that delivers in the next 25 minutes? Why? You know, it's so funny. Think about it. Yesterday you did the same thing. Every day at 6:30, you start talking about food.
Well, because we're in the home stretch, and I finally ate.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now you said you hadn't eaten in 15 hours.
Yeah, I finally had some food yesterday.
That was last night?
Yeah, felt good.
And this morning?
And I had a sandwich today. I thought I'll balance a little more.
Okay. It's good to see you're back on an eating schedule.
Yeah. But when you're busy volleying back and forth with boxes and things, you lose track of time.
And issues.
Issues. You don't really think about eating much. Check out Casu Marzu cheese. I don't wander off the cheese aisle much. Into it. I have a few that I really like, your Brie's, your cheddars, and all the standards. But
I like a good orange cheese. My wife goes, like on a Saturday, we might have like cheese with wine. And I always tell her, I don't know what I want, but I want a white cheese and I want an orange cheese. So that could be a Colby Jack, that could be a cheddar, but I need an orange one.
And what was that product she bought and it was the wrong thing. You made it was on sale, and you made her take it back. You said, "Why would you buy me this? I don't drink this." Or what was it? A pop or something?
Oh,
it was on sale.
Yeah,
and she brought it.
Oh yeah, no, the water enhancer. Yeah, I don't. You know, I like Mio. And I don't want.
And she found something
Crystal
on sale.
Crystal Light.
And you threw a hissy fit.
Or Dansai. What is that? What's that water?
Danzi or
Dansai? Whatever that is. I want Mio. That's the one I want. Don't bring me another enhancer. Don't bring me the Kool-Aid one. Even though it does look cool because it looks like the Kool-Aid guy. But Mio. That's my one. I don't want to have anything else. I don't want to experiment. That's the one.
All right. How would you like to hear about? I'm looking at my plate of stories.
Your lazy Susan.
Let's see what I got here.
Oh, you picked one, and now you're
okay.
Questioning
no,
that
I'm
truck.
Happy with it. I think okay. I'm happy. Police were called to a Brooklyn apartment over a foul odor last night. They found a bunch of garbage, debris, and skeletal remains. They found a 28-year-old woman who threatened to hurt herself. She was taken to a hospital. Police spotted the remains they suspect belonged to the woman's mother. She may have been dead for as long as a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Neighbors had also complained of an unexplained leak.
Ooh.
That's the thing. When you live in a condo, apartment building, any dwelling that's connected, you don't know what's going on next door, no. Above you, below you.
Not at all.
You think you do, maybe, but you don't.
Ugh. And what could you do about that smell? Can you tell anybody?
Well, they did, but I guess.
But after a year.
Yeah.
I'm talking, this had to be smelling for a long time. And they waited a year. Ugh.
And there it is, the skeletal remains of the woman's mother.
When we first got married, we lived in a condo complex with a bunch of apartments, and the woman across the hall from us smoked like a chimney.
See, that's the worst. If you're a non-smoker, I had that too in my apartment. And you'd open up the medicine cabinet because they were back-to-back, and smoke would come out of your medicine cabinet.
The hallway smelled. There was a because we lived on the third floor, it was just with stairs. And as soon as you got to the second landing, you could start smelling the smoke, the cigarette smell. And her car was filled with butts. Her car smelled. It was all just cigarette butts on the floor of the car. And every day that we lived there for 5 years. What am I talking about? 5 years. I thought for sure I'd come home and the place would be burned down.
That's the other thing, yeah.
I always, because this, you know, she smoked in bed. And you know that's the way
What did you hear? I hear you smoke in bed, baby.
Smoking. That's how so many of these fires start.
Yeah.
Because they fall asleep while they're sleeping, smoking. And I'm like, every time I came home, I'm like, I can't believe this is still standing. Because I can't believe she hasn't burned this place down. And then she had a cat in there.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That is the 1-2 punch.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Cigarette smoke and cat pee.
And the poor cat.
At Lollapalooza.
Yeah, the poor cat. I mean, I don't know if she was all there. You know what I mean?
The cat or the person?
The woman. I mean, I think she could. She obviously lived on her own, but I don't know if she was a little slow or not. But she certainly was enough that she could drive. And
own an apartment.
And own an apartment and everything. But I was... For sure, when we moved out of there, there was a huge weight off this imaginary weight on my shoulders because I always thought our house was going to burn down today.
We had an apartment where the people next door would argue all the time. Of course, these walls, they built some of
these,
they're
wafer thin.
Depending on when they built them,
yeah
it's rice paper. So all of a sudden, you're an asshole!
Oh, really?
Yeah! Oh. At any hour of the day. And then... He'd be down or she'd be down in the lobby in their pajamas sitting there because...
Oh, they kicked him out?
Or right, one or the other was kicked out. But all of it, you'd be kind of sleeping. You son of a bitch!
Oh.
Oh, God.
That's the worst. And where are you going to go? You can't go anywhere.
No, I can't break the lease on that. There's been a lot of screaming.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
Although you can, in some of these buildings, if not all of them, you can tell management and they can... Warn them that if they don't get it together, they'll get thrown out.
Did you
ever
that?
Live in an apartment where you either had smells or screaming coming through the wall?
Yes.
Oh, that's the one thing. When I got a house, I was so happy because I'm like, okay, if something happens to it, it's my fault. But I'm not. How many times do you see on the news? Oh, you know, four units were burned. because it started here, and everybody else is just,
yeah,
you know, they're just the victim of circumstance. But, oh, man.
When I had the smokers next door, and it was coming through the wall.
Unbelievable.
I must have mentioned it on the air, and somebody sent me these packs that you could put in the room, and it would supposedly absorb the smoke, but I didn't know if it worked that well.
Yeah.
Especially, again, when the medicine cabinets were on opposite sides of the wall, I swear, when I opened them, there was smoke coming out. That's wrong.
Oh, man.
But how do you, I mean, really, if you are next to a smoker.
What are you going
to
do?
And you don't know there's a smoker when you move in, unless you, when you move in or take a whiff when you first look at the place.
Well, that's, I mean, that is the hard part of it, too. Think about when you make a choice to move somewhere, you don't really, when you're looking at the house, you're looking at the house. You might look at the next door neighbor's house to see, do they keep it up? You know, what kind of neighbor am I in? But you don't really meet the neighbors.
Right.
You didn't, and then yet these people are going to be a part of your life every day.
Well, that guy in Cleveland who had the women down in the basement for 10 years.
Yeah.
Nobody noticed anything?
Yeah. I mean, the story before you came in, the story that Gary was reading was a woman's body was in this apartment for a year.
The skeletal remains of this woman's mother.
Apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the neighbors complained of the smell.
And how could you not complain within 2 months?
Because here's the thing. Maybe it's just nice to have such a quiet neighbor.
Well, that's a way to look at it.
We had some that I seriously wish had died and been mummified because there was fighting. And,
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
These animals kicked their cat and damaged her so badly that we ended up taking the cat to the vet, and she subsequently succumbed to her injuries. And I'm still stuck with these two yahoos next door, and there's nothing you can do.
It's amazing that you find some kind of peace of mind in an apartment or condo for the most part, because the mix of people out there, it could be, and I'm sure there are nightmares that spring up every day, but.
And that's where, somebody smoking is maybe an improvement over any number of other
or
music. Crazy things.
Some people like to crank the music all the way up, and that's fine, right. Except at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
The thumpity thump.
We had a music.
Well, I work the other shift, so shut up, man. Yeah.
Or their TV's up all the way because they're hard of hearing or something.
Yeah.
Or running on the floor above you if they have a hardwood floor and you could just hear them like they're in your apartment.
Sadly, my mom was hard of hearing, so even in our house, our neighbors got an earful because she used to like the books on tape, and she liked the saucy, sexy novels. And so there, I mean, I watched my neighbor, just her jaw dropped as as his tumescence.
Heather removed her diaphanous gown.
Exactly.
It fell to the floor, and she quivered.
His turgid member.
Oh, Dirk. Dirk.
He pressed his turgid member against her wanting loins.
You read that book, huh?
Her pert breasts could not be resisted.
Oh, boy.
Her milky flesh yearned
every night.
Seriously.
Yearned for his heart.
She had that thing cranked so hard, and I tried to put headphones on her. She's like, these things squeeze your brains. So close the windows. When it got, you just knew when it was getting to that part, it'd be like, close the windows.
And then he took her in ways that she never dreamed of.
They collapsed on each other.
In the biblical sense.
You guys know a lot about these novels.
I do books on tape for extra money.
Yeah, I used to read Penthouse Forum. You'll never believe this, but.
But. Andy Griffith was smoking in bed in an episode where Gomer slept over and kept waking Andy up.
He was smoking in bed?
I don't remember. Did Andy smoke on the show?
On a few episodes, he did smoke. It was really weird to see him do that. But every so often, he would light up a cigarette.
Why was Gomer sleeping over?
Oh, there was one episode where Gomer couldn't sleep at the, he used to live in the garage, you know, where he used to live, in that, you know, where he worked.
Mm-hmm.
So then one time something happened, and so then Gomer stayed over and drove them all crazy. And then I think he got fired, and that's why he couldn't live at the garage anymore. So then they put him up. And then they used to get, in the middle of the night, all these people would drive up to Andy's house because they wanted Gomer to fix their car. So in the middle of the night,
God.
People were honking, going, hey, Gomer. And Effie's got her hair all in a bun. You know?
I hope that Gom didn't try anything on B.
Oh, I don't think he did.
Ooh,
Andy.
I'd be worried about Opie.
Oh, Andy. Gomer was turgid.
I had to lock my door.
Oh, Andy.
Gomer's hardness.
If I don't know if this is way out of sync, but the woman who played Aunt B was only, when they first started the show, in her late 50s.
Frances Bavier.
She looked like a late 50s woman? Oh, no, she looked like she was about 75, right?
Easily, yeah. Especially toward the end, but that was after 10 years. But, oh, yeah, even in the beginning, she looked old.
Well, yeah.
Well, they all looked old, though. Everybody looked old.
They were through the Great Depression and the war.
I mean, everybody looked old.
They went through a lot of crap. 312-521-8600. That is the phone number and the text number. Some stunad in Connecticut. Connecticut man who told his probation officer he wasn't foolish enough to bring drugs into a courthouse was hiding 19 bags of pot in his left sock. He went to a hearing on a charge of possession with intent to sell. And then he reeked of marijuana when he met his probation officer. When the officer asked about it, the guy said, "I'm not a fool. I didn't bring any drugs to court." And then they found the 19 bags of pot.
Not even two bags. 19 bags.
I mean, I don't know what size bag they were. Were they a nickel, dime bag? What are the other sizes?
A lid.
A brick.
A brick. A gross.
What? Venti. Tall.
Grande.
What are the drug sizes? Is it metric? Is
it's always kilos, grams, lids. I remember lid.
And why are you selling kilos in this country? We don't go by that system.
No. Pounds.
We're analog.
Right. We're totally, yeah. Pounds, right, I guess.
Well, pounds, bushels,
yeah,
pecks.
Ounces.
Don't give
pints.
Me dime, nickel.
Nickel bag. Well, I'm sure there's probably a lot more new, cooler, hipper phrases that we have no clue. I'm sure they even use lid anymore.
Lid. I do remember that, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lid.
You got a lid.
It's a lid. It's a dime bag. Yeah. It's a nickel bag. It's an ounce.
Because we never, did you ever use spliff? Or what's that word?
Spliff?
Spliff?
Spliff, right?
Did you use that?
I heard it.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was that a...
Because
I hear that a lot now when you read and stuff. They use that word a lot. And it's weed now. It's not grass.
When you think about cocaine and you hear these stories and an ounce is, I don't know, $100 or whatever it was. So you think, okay, $100 for an ounce. A packet of sweetener is an ounce, I believe.
Is that how big it is?
That's how big it is.
Wow, does that put that into...
And there's your $100 right up your nose.
That puts that into perspective.
Just open the Splenda and snort it.
Oh, man.
Much cheaper. And it's free right at the restaurant.
Wow. Get a little sweet and low.
Yeah. It's free. Take some packets home.
The little pink packet.
Isn't that an ounce? Right?
Wow.
Gang? Splenda, an ounce? Yeah. An ounce, I don't know what the going rate is now, but in the day, I think it was around $100. So that's an ounce.
Oh, wow. See, that's why I buy memories.
You don't need this.
I don't need that stuff. Oh, wow. I never even knew that.
If you're looking for some context of how much that is.
Oh, that's, wow. That stuff better be really good.
Wally fired Gomer because he was talking to customers instead of doing his work.
Oh, that's right. He got fired, so then he lived at Andy's.
Where did Andy... Oh, Andy lived with Aunt B. Barney lived in some SRO, didn't he?
Yeah, he lived with Mrs. Mendelbright.
With a hot plate.
Yeah, and then he put the hot plate on, and she got mad at that, and then she kicked him out, and then a con man named Mr. Fields tried to take all her money. I love you, Mrs. Mendelbright.
I love you too, Bonnie.
Ooh, Andy, Gomer walked in when I was in my negligee, Andy.
And then, of course, the great one, too, that Andy saved Gomer because there was, like, a fire happening or something at the garage. So then, of course, Gomer says, you know, I'm going to pay you back. So then Andy had to pretend that Gomer could save his life. So Andy turned the gas on at the courthouse and pretended that the gas had knocked him out. And then when Gomer went to turn it off, he fell. He really fell. And Andy had to save him again. He goes, oh, no, here we go again. So then he pretended like Gomer did save them because they were both knocked
out. Tell me that How I Met Your Mother or Two Broke Girls,
yeah,
or any of those sitcoms will hold up in 50 years.
No way. No way. I mean, there's, and it's, it, you hate to sound like.
What's that one that wins all the awards with that Jim Parsons guy?
Oh, Big Bang.
The Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
Will that play in 50 years?
Well, you know, the fact that there's a lot of geeks now, it might, because it does play to that audience. But in terms of 50 years, like, I mean, Andy Griffith is literally 55 years old now, 1960, so it's 54 years old. And it's still on five times a day.
Yeah, will you be, if you're on a radio show in 50 years and somebody goes, from How I Met Your Mother, is something going to play from
right.
that?
I don't even, nobody's even quoting that show now.
And that thing is
and it's,
still going.
Well, now it's officially over now.
Was still going a week, a year ago.
But Two Broke Girls. Yeah, no, I'm
noticing when they were running the Miley Cyrus concert on NBC Sunday.
Oh,
they were not playing any commercials as far as I could tell. They were just promoting all the shows that are coming on in the fall. And I'm not a prude, as you know.
No.
But a lot of these shows seem to be looking to, say, penis.
Oh.
Or, I mean, stuff that I'm thinking, this is going to be on broadcast television. All of these promos had some kind of weird sexual reference, and it made me uncomfortable because I'm watching this with my daughter, and I'm thinking, I understand that if you're on cable or whatever, but it doesn't even play well.
Two Broke Girls, I stopped watching it. I'm not a prude either, but I can't continue to hear the word vagina that much, as much as it's an interesting word.
Well,
you're more of a vajayjay guy.
Yeah. I like hoochie.
A vajee.
No, but I mean, they just
love
say...
Love purse.
Cooter.
There you go.
Those words.
Yeah, but I mean,
you've seen the vagina monologues. You've got a million of them.
Yeah.
The thing is, no women
say it,
ever
right?
talk about it that often, unless you are on The View, I guess.
Yeah.
But they say
they're
vagina.
Just doing it to do it because they think we got to compete with cable, and that's what they do.
It's so silly. And they think because a woman's saying it that it's racy and funny
but
and edgy.
But you see these shows that are coming out. There was one, I don't even know what it was, but the woman had drawn, somebody had drawn a picture, and this woman was going, it's the head, it's a penis. And they showed the picture, and it is the head of a penis. And I'm, this is what you're promoting for the fall during the Miley Cyrus concert.
Well, and the, like you said, the words that they're using, and now ass apparently you can say.
Yeah.
Because I saw there's a show called Blackish that's going to be on. So it sounds like it's like a Modern Family for black people. And so
that's how it was pitched, I'll bet.
Yeah.
It's Modern Family, but for black people.
Because that's the way it looked, and this is on NBC. And so the woman goes, the husband says, they're having an argument about who's darker. You know, like in their skin. And he goes, you're saying this to me, and you're only like, you're half black? And she goes, well, if I'm half black, tell that to my hair and my ass. And I'm like, what is going on? This is a commercial. Yeah. She's saying ass. I mean, what?
Oh, that is son of a bitch is.
Oh, standard. Son of a bitch is.
Yeah, that's out. That's standard.
And I remember there's a Seinfeld episode where George says sons of bitches, and that was, you know, and you were
20
like,
years ago.
How did they get away with saying that? Now, son of a bitch, no problem. But vagina, that Two Broke Girls, I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's just.
That-
The
show,
every
the
two
one
weeks.
That was a train wreck, but I kind of liked it because I knew it was a train wreck, that mixology show that was after Modern Family.
Why did you always watch that?
Because it was so bad.
I don't know. How did you stay on
My hand wouldn't stay off the remote like 30 seconds in.
I had to go away.
I know, but
you watched it.
I don't know either, but it was all because it's set in a bar on the same night.
Right.
I don't know how they thought that was going to work for weeks on end, and it didn't. But the stuff they were saying, and this was, what time was this on? 8:30?
8:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On ABC.
Right.
And then they wonder why these groups get crazy, because they don't monitor it properly. I mean, if you want to do that late at night or whatever, when you are safely off of kids watching, but this thing, I'm going to lay her and spread her out and lay her.
Get laid? Laid?
Yeah.
Everything get laid, that's not even a problem.
Right.
You say get laid all the time.
I was thinking in terms of family viewing, watching So You Think You Can Dance the other night. And they surprised me because they had two girls doing ballet, and then they had a couple doing tap, and then they brought out this guy who did the song Wiggle Wiggle. And it's about what you're going to do with your big fat butt.
Right. Yeah, that was a number. It was a top 10 song.
And with the dancers wiggling their big fat butts, and it's like, come on, it's 7:30. Why are you doing this to us?
Okay, America's Got Talent. They had this old guy on.
Oh yeah, yesterday, right? Did you see that one?
Well, it was a rerun. It was on last week.
Oh, okay.
I saw it last week.
Yesterday.
He wrote this song.
I was going to mention.
And it's a song about a transvestite.
Yeah.
And it's the whole payoff is, and he had a penis. And he says, he's singing penis for about 3 minutes or 90 seconds.
Yeah.
That's all they have. And this is on from 7 to 9, right?
And he got voted through. Four votes.
And that's his only song, though.
Now,
we're going to hear this over and over.
If that doesn't get promoted to the general family viewing audience, then I don't know what show is.
Because that's what it is.
It's an amateur hour type thing. But
definitely.
Then they throw this guy on there, and I'm wondering what they don't think. They just go, we got to compete with cable. We don't care.
The only thing I could think of is that he was the last act of the show. So in their minds, we put him on at 9.
It's closer to the,
so maybe the little kids went to bed. But, yeah, he comes out and he sings this. He's got this beautiful little melody. He's this old guy that looks like Albert Einstein. He's 84 years old. And he goes, oh, she had everything. She had style. She had grace. She had a penis.
Yeah. Something rhymed with penis, though.
Yeah, right, yeah.
She had a zenith.
Yeah.
A zenith.
Yeah.
She had a penis.
But he said penis about 5 times.
Yeah.
And the place stood up.
Yeah.
Standing ovulation.
Thank you. You know, I'm not going to end with a song today because I didn't pick one. No, I just didn't.
Well, you know, there's no rules here.
There are no rules.
You don't need to do everything
the same. The F is for flying. So what is this, Thursday? Okay, tomorrow, Rick Kogan, he'll jump in. He likes to talk about things that I think are pretty interesting.
Well, you know.
That was a brothel from 1975 to 1982, and I went over to William Goat. And they don't charge me.
I don't pay for
drinks. I don't,
drinks.
Pay that.
I don't go
tab.
To any saloons that I have to pay for. A tap.
What was he thinking that night?
The local tap.
When I ran into Mike Royko.
And, of course, Neil Studs. I would go to his house.
The great Rick Kogan.
Spoiler alert, you guys have just stolen his entire interview. I hope you're happy.
Yeah, give us some more. So if you're joining late, earlier in the show, I was going through a Nordstrom catalog to take my name out if it was in the inside to throw it into recycling. So if the recycler saw it, they wouldn't put a charge card in my name or whatever I think that they would
do. Wow, that's really paranoia.
Well, you never know, right?
The recycling guy is going to do it.
There's a woman modeling boots in an electric wheelchair. I have never seen a handicapped person in a catalog. I think that's a good step.
Yeah. Well, it's not a step.
Not a pun intended. But I'd never seen that before.
She's on a roll.
So, Nordstrom's, you get the thumbs up for the show today.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's not even a paid endorsement.
Again, is there another catalog that's done this before? I haven't seen it. We'll talk about that tomorrow. What do you say?
The Ironside catalog with Raymond Burr.
But he wasn't modeling anything. These are boots. They're made for, well, they're not made for walking in this case, but this is a good step. Oh, geez, I don't know.
What? It's a good move.
It's a real kick of the,
It's a good way to step things. Oh, it's a good thing the way to kick things. No.
Wouldn't you like to see people on crutches modeling things?
On crutches?
Yeah, what
That's
the heck?
Tough. That's hard. How do you model?
No.
I mean, at least she's sitting here and waving.
No, she's not waving, but.
What is she doing?
Why can't people with crutches model?
I don't see a lot of people with crutches anymore. You know, you don't really see a lot of
They either
of
have that cart where they balance the one and they push themselves.
Or they have
Or they have a walking boot.
Yeah, well, yeah, they really have replaced the crutches with the walking boot. That is true. I don't see a lot of people with crutches.
And on that note.
Well, we cured polio. There you go.
You don't see braces anymore. The good leg braces.
We'll pick it up tomorrow at 3 o'clock. What do you say? Thank you for listening. Have a great night. The show repeats itself now, and then you can get the podcast in an hour or two. Thank you for listening.